about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Can we start now?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And he goes, can I get a hit off that doobie? And I'm like, yeah, you can have a hit off that doobie.
I'm wasted, okay? I'm completely baked.
An ordinary dinner party. The sort of occasion we all enjoy. The men are exchanging witty stories. And look at the women. Aren't they pretty? Look at the way they laugh. They're delightful.
You just met me, so it's, you know, as best as you can sum up, what would the soundtrack for my life sound like?
You're wondering why you're so stupid.
I don't know. It is unfortunate.
What, because I'm black?
So why can't I bogart that joint? You're asking me to roll another one just like the other one. That means there's about to be two joints in play. Come on, people, it's logistics.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I, myself, am a drummer.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, that sounds so boring.
Roll another one.
No point in that. No point in that at all.
Just like the other one.
God, this sucks.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Where are the white women at?
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Can't be mad at that.
Roll. Roll another one.
Will Glenda be there?
Just like the other one.
What does that mean? That's not a thing.
This one seems to be about to end.
Right?
I don't have another cent.
Does anyone want to buy a Dalton Chad Johnson jersey? Yeah.
People love him.
Just pass it around.
That sounds kind of crazy.
Everyone's a dumb whore.
Now,
I kind of want to watch this in 3D. Does that make me bad?
Yep.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Friday morning.
Finally Friday. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
It's always good.
Fine.
Go ahead.
How are they?
They're fine. Thanks.
Good. It's always good when you come to work. We are Compton adjacent, and there's a helicopter out there with a spotlight. And there's
how many times in the past 2 weeks has that happened?
Three, maybe.
Yeah.
But now there's cops everywhere closing down roads and.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh yeah, they're closing down Fairfax and all kinds of different stuff.
Great.
I don't know.
Did we just have a murder there like 2 days ago?
Pretty much. There's a murder and a helicopter per week in our area, so that's good times.
Yeah,
that is good times. That's what you want.
I don't know what that is across the street, the electric complex or whatever it is. That's, yeah, there's someone running apparently.
Good times.
Yep.
Hey, speaking of breaking the law, I don't know what the, I understand, my understanding of the news is not great, but I understand that you're not allowed to threaten the president's life. Is that a thing now? Is that where we're at this country now? You can no longer threaten to kill the president?
I don't think you ever could.
Yeah, right? I believe that's been a thing forever.
Oh, really? That's not new.
Okay. No.
Apparently, a conviction for making a threat against the president carries up to 5 years in prison. And I don't know. I don't have anything to compare that to. But is that more severe than if you threaten to kill a coworker, a neighbor, or whatever, or a stranger?
I would
even
say way more severe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes.
Well, here's a guy named Anton Calori. He's from Federal Way, Washington. He was officially charged yesterday with making a threat against the president. And this is what's amazing to me. And I always get the impression, and maybe I just watch too many movies, I get the impression that the government is just monitoring everything we say and everything we do. And it's almost like they've got a keyword. They're listing for the words kill and president in the same sentence.
Sure.
And all of a sudden the SWAT team comes down. I mean, if you write that in an email, it seems like the SWAT team is there, right?
Yeah, that's why it's good that you just use both words next to each other on a radio station.
I am beer mug. So listen, so Here's a guy who they didn't have to try very hard to find the meaning, you know, between the lines on his note, because he actually sent it to the FBI. He sent this message to the FBI. And I want you to tell me if it's too subtle or if you think they overreacted by coming to his house to arrest him.
Why would he send it to the FBI?
I don't know.
Like, are they going to – did he in his delusion think they were going to help him?
I don't know. There's so many questions about Mr. Calori because, yeah, why send it to the FBI? I don't understand that. So, again, is it too subtle? Did they act too soon by coming to this man's home and arresting him? Here's what his note to the FBI says. I will kill the president, !5. I don't give an F. You know that. Physical effing address. Come get me. I won't fight against you. I want you to come and get me. Address given again. Better your audience or this ish hits the effing fan real fast. Your world will change forever. You have 7 days. Get me to Alcatraz now. You can't afford to call my bluff. Dying isn't frightening. It's peaceful. You will see. Gives his address again. get here now or F this planet. Hard. Cop killing spree. Just over the hill. So that's the note that he sends to the feds.
Reading an email, everyone. Reading an email. A note.
Yes.
An email. Reading that.
Well, it's a news story here. Right.
Not our story.
So do they overreact by coming to this guy's house?
I think no. I think they should take him to Alcatraz.
Okay.
And put him in that jail by himself and let him die.
They show up at his home. Federal authorities come up, including the FBI and the Federal Way local police department. They knock on his door. He does not answer for several minutes. When he does, he's strapped, man. He's got the black bandolier on with a large knife attached to it filled with shotgun shells. He's got a revolver stored in a holster strapped to his ankle. Behind his back, he had a fully loaded pump-action shotgun. They subdue him. They search the apartment. They find a marijuana grow room inside the apartment.
Oh, that's
now,
the worst
again,
part now.
You're inviting the FBI to your home, and this is what you've got behind the door when they come in. I mean, are you just asking for trouble? Marijuana grow room, a Draco stockless AK-47 rifle in the kitchen, a Bushmaster AR-15 rifle, and a loaded 100-round drum magazine under the bed, a loaded Desert Eagle 45 caliber pistol, two loaded magazines, and a cot by the front door. He's got all of that in his house, and he invited the feds into his home. What's his angle here?
Bean, I think he might be crazy, and you're trying to apply logic.
Oh, really? I hadn't even thought about
that. You're trying to ask, like, logically, what is he thinking? He's not. He's crazy, A, but has anyone ever been more stalked and not getting a shot off in history? Not one shot.
I don't see much defense for him either in court when it gets to that
crazy
day, by the way. They arrested him. He's in the back of the cop car. They asked, do you know why we're here? He says, I think I do. I don't want to say. They present him with a printed copy of his email that he sent the FBI. And they said, did you write this? And he said, possibly. Then they asked, do you have any issues with the president? And he says, you don't have a high enough security clearance. Call the CIA or run it up the chain of command. So that's what that dude's all about.
Yeah. Wow, I'm glad that guy finally got stopped before he did anything.
I know. He was a day away from shooting everything up.
You think?
Yeah, it did sound like it, but it's just I don't get I mean, if you're is he of two minds? Is the problem that he's serious about it? He thinks he wants to do all that, but then subconsciously he realizes he's not going to and doesn't want to, so that's why he's begging people, hey, catch me.
He's probably sitting in a cell right now crying like a baby.
Yeah.
I had my chance.
So good times.
Good times. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Thank you, Mr. Obama. That's very nice. On today's show, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, is he the best?
He's
is
awesome.
Anyone better?
Yep. Women are better, but of the men persuasion, he's pretty good. And he can ride a bike like a mofo.
Yes.
Jimmy Kimmel will be on the program today.
Excellent.
This show's getting moved to 11:35, which is great, great news. Straight up against Letterman. Unbelievable. Rob Dyrdek on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Stuff that did not stay in Vegas, contrary to the promise, based on Prince Harry and the photos that got out from him playing naked, whatever it was, billiards.
That is the way it's supposed to work, by the way.
Well, that's
what
they say.
You're supposed to be able to go to Las Vegas, blow off steam, and not have it follow you back to your town.
That's what they say. But Prince Harry didn't do what you have to do if you're serious about being in Vegas, which is everybody put your phones away.
Yeah.
No more photos from this point on. You have to specify.
Right.
We also have the movie beat today because it's Friday, and we have highlights coming up in about a half hour of Honey Boo Boo.
Honey Boo Boo.
Another episode of Honey Boo Boo.
I love Honey Boo Boo.
Bean loves it so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to be writing a note to the FBI soon if I can get out of watching Honey Boo Boo.
You love it so much, and you're going to bring us highlights, and we can't wait. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday Kevin and Bean show. Ralph Garman steps in. What's going on?
Oh, it's good to be nice. Okay.
Who told you that?
Boy Scouts? You want a source?
Jennifer Valisakos.
Oh.
Turns out Jennifer Valisakos, who lives in Santa Barbara, California, was in a parking lot. She was raising money for stem cell research that she needed.
Okay.
And a gentleman pulled into the parking lot, lost, and asked for directions.
Okay.
She gave him the directions. They started chatting about her health condition. Her kidneys failed in 2011. She had been rejected for a kidney transplant because of a previous bout with skin cancer. So she spends about 14 hours a week in dialysis and was hoping to raise enough money to undergo the procedure at a hospital in another country, since no U.S. hospitals perform the stem cell treatment that she needs. So after getting the driving directions, the gentleman cuts her a $50 check and said, "I'll be back with more." She said, "Oh, that was nice." Then she later received in the mail a check for $20,000.
Wow!
Turns out the gentleman was a guy named Ty Warner, who invented the Beanie Baby.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ty's Beanie Babies, you may have seen them. Kids like to play with them. People collect them.
Yep.
Yeah,
about 5 years, they were the hottest item in the world, remember?
And they made Ty Warner a billionaire, by the way.
Oh, my God.
He is the Beanie Baby billionaire. And he sent her an additional check for $20,000 to help her with her stem cell.
That's fantastic.
So it's nice to give people directions, I guess, is the moral of the story. When someone asks you, "Hey, do you know how to get to?" Be nice, because they might give you $20,000.
As an aside, can you guys imagine how happy I was when I was at the Safeway yesterday doing a little grocery shopping?
Someone gave me $20,000?
No, but a guy comes up to me and says, "I'm sorry to bother you. Do you know where there's a post office around here?"
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine how happy I was? It was total squee.
Yeah. Jump in my car. I'll take you.
And then we'll go to 7-Eleven and we'll get some big gulps.
We'll make out.
And I was just thinking, that guy has no idea how lucky he is, because he asked the right person.
Bean whipped out a giant life-size map with each post office around the world marked off on it.
It was so fun.
It was so fun. Wow. Directions and post office all in one?
That's the best.
Oh, it's been the best day of your life.
You know how to live.
Relationship news in the showbiz beat. Kristen Davis from Sex and the City has called it quits with Aaron Sorkin, creator of such TV shows as West Wing, of course, and currently The Newsroom.
I didn't know they were together.
I didn't either.
Neither.
In Touch Weekly magazine says the two realized they were very different people.
I can imagine.
Aaron Sorkin, of course, is talented. Now, apparently she's busy raising her baby daughter, Gemma. He's busy working on The Newsroom. He writes every episode on that show. So no hard feelings. The two plan to remain friends, but just couldn't work things out. She's still a good-looking broad. I can see why I'd be interested.
Mm-hmm.
Katy Perry and John Mayer have broken it off. Are no longer dating.
Knew it.
So that's about the average length of a relationship for John Mayer, right?
Yep.
He hit it and quit it.
Yep.
Her body is no longer a wonderland. He's looking for a new theme park. And I'm sure he'll find it. Corey Monteith of Glee is desperately in love with his on-screen girlfriend, Leah Michele. According to Star Magazine, he follows her to the gym.
What?
Not to work out. He watches her work out with her personal trainer. Either he's really worried she's going to bang her personal trainer, or he's creepy.
All right. That's creepy.
Yeah, it is kind of creepy.
Watches her work out.
Yeah, that's love.
Or I want you to sweat, baby. That's weird.
And I'm just shattered. Oh, I'm so shattered.
What?
Emily Maynard. Bachelorette Emily Maynard.
I don't know.
May have already cheated on her knight in shining armor, Jeff Holm. Jeff with one F.
Wait a minute. I thought they found true love.
It was true love, Kevin. Something's gone horribly wrong. Jeff's brother, Mike, confirmed to Us Weekly magazine that he watched it as his brother found explicit sex messages on Emily's phone during a family vacation in South Carolina.
But wait.
Mike also heard the ensuing fight, apparently.
How can this not work out? They met on a TV show.
I know. The Bachelorette is love, and she is sullying it. See, this is gonna just give Petros more ammunition. because we've had a long-standing battle over the lovely Emily. He doesn't care for her. I love her.
Yeah.
Now he's going to say, see? See? He's cheating on him already. The guy should be friend on that show.
Looks like he was right. Looks like he had her pegged a little more accurately than you did,
Ralph. I think he may have. I'm shattered. Emily.
You crazy bitch whore.
How could you do that, Emily, to Jeff with one F? Nice Mormon boy. Jeff with one F with his pompadour. What? And Hell's Kitchen chef Gordon Ramsay turned down a large charitable donation of $9,500 to a gentleman who ran into Ramsay in Las Vegas and came up to him and said, it's my 50th birthday. Would you mind calling me a donkey? That's one of Gordon Ramsay's famous quotes on the Hell's Kitchen show when he goes off on someone. You stupid donkey! Don't you know how to make risotto? He'll just like scream at them in the kitchen.
Okay.
So the guy said, hey, it's my birthday. I'm in Vegas. Call me a donkey. Gordon Ramsay said, no. He said, I will donate $9,500 to your favorite charity. Ramsay just turned and walked away.
Hmm.
I would like to say right now, if you ever meet me in public and you'd like me to publicly humiliate you for a donation to my favorite charity, I'll be happy to.
Sure.
Just want to put that out there. I'll call you a donkey. Hell, I'll give you a donkey punch. I don't care.
I don't think that's what he wanted.
I'm not above it. Raising money for charity. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Wrestling promoter Vince McMahon is 67 years old today. The Goot, Steve Guttenberg. Wow. Wow, is he not talented. He's 54 years old today. Craig Kilborn. Remember Craig Kilborn?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Whatever happened to Craig Kilborn?
Dead.
What?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I feel so bad.
I think the last thing I saw him in was that brief cameo in, was it Old School?
Old School, yeah. He showed up in Old School.
And it's been years now.
He used to be the host of the freaking Daily Show.
Yep.
And it all went away. He had his own late night talk show on CBS, which is now the Craig Ferguson Show.
Which I enjoyed very much as well, by the way.
And you guys were on that. You were on Craig Ferguson Show.
Were we?
Or Craig Kilborn Show. Yeah.
Craig Kilborn Show.
I believe we were, yes.
You were.
I think so, yeah.
You played Kaplinko or whatever that game was.
Yes,
you
played
on that show.
I barely have a memory of that.
Yeah. Marley Matlin is 47 years old today. Marley, how are you going to celebrate your birthday?
I'm going to have a birthday party and a cake.
Sweet.
Man, I got to give Lisa more time to work on that impression. Dave Chappelle's 39 years old today. Chad Michael Murray of One Tree Hill fame is 31. And Rupert Grint of Harry Potter. He is 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey! Yeehaw! Who's with me?
Woohoo!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Kevin and Bean Show, 9 minutes after 6.
Honey Boo Boo Child is America's new sweetheart. She, of course, has got her own spinoff show. She and her family living in a tiny town in Georgia. She became famous on the Toddlers and Tiara show. She's one of these little pageant girls in a crazy family. She's, I think she's 6 now.
6.
Her mom, June, is a piece of work. She's 32 years old. Her man is Sugar Bear. He's 40. Chickadee is Honey Boo's older sister. She's in her third trimester of pregnancy. She's 17. Chub, the next sister, is 15. And then Pumpkin, of course, rounds out the family, and she's 12. And then they got Glitzy the pig. So there's a lot going on in the tiny little Honey Boo Boo Child house. And they have a very, very big day planned ahead in this episode that we're spotlighting right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We have a lot of exciting things to do this week, and the salon was running a weekly special that I couldn't pass up, so I decided to treat the girls with something nice.
Come on, girls, let's go get our spas.
Me and Alana's gonna do like facials for her to be able to get her skin soft with like the pageant. I'm doing it to kind of look better to go on my date with Sugar Bear.
Y'all just follow me.
Me and Sugar Bear ain't married, but we've been together 8 years now. We'll never get to go out by ourselves, never. And so I decided I'd put a little paint on this old barn and look good tonight.
So she's going to put a little paint on the barn and look real good tonight for her date with her man.
Wow, you
Sugar
can't
Bear.
Understand a word she's saying.
Yeah, this whole show is subtitled. And I mean, literally, the whole show is subtitled. They are speaking English, folks. I know it's hard
to
believe. Basically, what's going on is the two themes of this episode are, one is they're taking all the girls to go into the salon. They're going to go get massages and pedicures and spa and the whole deal. You know, get all primped so that Alana's skin, Honey Boo Boo, that's Alana. Carolina. So her skin looks good for the pageant. Because, you know, when you're six, Kevin, you're already starting to show those crow's feet and the signs of aging. So you got to keep that skin looking fresh, right?
That's right. It's time for a refresher at six.
And then June wants to get all dolled up for her big date. We're going to learn more about what's going on with her and Sugar Bear in a minute. Here's the thing about taking the girls in for a pedicure. And I suspect that, like with most reality shows, very little of what we're seeing that's going on this Here Comes Honey Boo Boo is something that happens in real life. I think they give them things to do to make interesting television. So they said, hey, take the girls to a spa. It won't surprise you that none of them have ever done this before. So you can imagine the condition their feet are in, right?
Oh dear God.
No.
Since Nina Lana had a facial done, I told the girls they could get a pedicure. The girls' feet, they're a hot mess.
This is your first time doing this.
No. Looking at their feet, they've definitely never had pedicures before. It was a lot of work.
Please tell me you got a cheese grater out for their feet.
Yeah, cheese grater is what's needed. And they're, you know, most of the time they're just running around barefoot in the mud at the redneck games and all the other stuff that they
what
do.
What a bad job that woman had that day.
Can you imagine what it would be like to be doing a – I mean, it'd be like doing a pedicure on a homeless guy. I mean, that's essentially – now – you think it's bad with the kids. Now we're going to find out about the deformity that June has because of a forklift accident. And I'm not joking.
Is June the mom?
June's the mom. Okay. She's 32 years old. She's a lovely, lovely woman. She's down to 303 pounds, by the way, in case you're wondering how the diet's going.
Oh, so good.
She's lost 6 pounds since the show began. This one's a little tougher to hear, but she's explaining what happened and why her feet are deformed and why she always wears socks.
What's wrong with it?
I have a toe that got run over, like, when I'm in forklift
by forklift, like when I work in the warehouse, and it's not a pretty sight. It's not, no. One of my toes are deformed, and I'm really, really picky about my feet.
And I wear socks everywhere, so we can't even get a little,
no.
I've not heard a forklift foot before. That was the first. Apparently, it's you get your foot run over by a forklift, and your toes are all mangled, I guess.
So forklift foot, apparently, is what she
who
has.
Who hasn't had that?
And that's the poor lady who's working in the pedicure shop. And by the way, just to be a good sport and to be along with the rest of the girls, June let them paint her toenails on top of her socks. So they basically just put the polish right on the outside of her socks so she didn't have to take her socks off.
She kept her socks on the whole time?
Yes, she certainly did. She won't take them off.
I thought she was explaining that when she took them off.
Yeah, she won't take them off. She won't let anyone see it because apparently it's too gross.
Well, that's probably the best case.
Now, here's Mama's big night with her man, and I have always wondered what the relationship was between this poor sucker that lives with all these ladies, Sugar Bear, who's 40, by the way, looks 65.
Of course. What a nightmare.
And I was trying to figure out what's his relation with these people? How did he get involved in this family? What's the story? And finally, on this episode of Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, we get a little bit of explanation as to what's going on.
Sugar Bear is my baby's daddy. That's Alana's dad. And we've been shacking up mates for like 8 years now.
We're going on date. Y'all ready for a date?
Oh, Lord have mercy, Jesus.
Sugar Bear is not the other girl's dad. They have other dads, but they're not involved in the picture.
Don't come back now, smooshy, smooshy now.
By the way, please note that the other girls all have other dads. It's not like she was married before and there was one father for the other three kids. I think they probably all have different dads from what I know about June.
Oh, my God.
And that means
how did she get that many men?
I don't know. And Sugar Bear, that means, joined this family with this woman and three other kids. Oh. She was able to get a man, right?
What an idiot.
Sugar Bear's asked me to marry him a few times. That M-word scares me. My flesh crawled.
She's 303 pounds and has four kids, and she's got a nice guy with a job who's trying to marry her, and she's running from that.
He should be so grateful.
What is wrong with him?
What is wrong with him?
We have attractive professional women that don't smell bad who have jobs and cars right now who can't get a date, and they're listening to this going, what's happening? So here they are. Here's more. This is Honey Boo Boo and Sugar talking about June and talking about the date that night.
I know Mama and Sugar love each other so much. I don't need no piece of paper to tell me that.
Well, I'm glad that Honey Boo Boo has already made a stance on marriage, that she doesn't need a piece of paper. If Mommy doesn't, she doesn't need one either.
She's ruling.
When I met June, it was love at first sight. I know she loves me and she does a lot for me. We've been happy ever since.
Was it love at first sight? No. Yeah. Was it bad at first sight? Maybe.
You got to try the milk apple you buy the
Mama!
Imagine how embarrassed your kids are all the time by the things that she says, by the way.
I'll tell you what it wasn't. It wasn't birth control at first sight.
No, it certainly was. It was bed at first sight, says Jude. Well, they go to a fancy place. They've been together 8 years, as you heard. They're
by
not
the way,
married.
Let me just butt in and say, you're on a TV show and they ask you if it was love at first sight. You always just say yes. You don't have, there's no, you're not under oath. You don't have to make that person feel bad by saying no.
June doesn't spare anyone's feelings. She's very, very outspoken. So they go to the cafeteria, which may be the nicest place in town. They, I don't know what city they live or town they live in, but apparently it's only 700 people. So I don't know that they have a lot of fine dining options very close by the house. So they go to the cafeteria and imagine June's surprise when Sugar Bear brings in a gift. Actually has picked something out and brought it in for her anniversary. That's very exciting.
I got June some gifts for our anniversary. When Sugar came in the door, it was like, what the hell? Because he was like struggling to bring it in.
All right, she's opening this package. It's a giant statue, you guys. No kidding, of a deer.
He had bought this crazy deer that weighed probably 50 pounds. That's an unusual gift because I'm not into statues and stuff.
That's our June, by the way. She gets an anniversary gift. She's like, that's unusual because I'm not really into statues.
So well, she's already
sad.
That is, well, she should be more gracious. That is a strange gift. Like, if you don't know she's into statues, why would you get that?
It's a giant statue of a deer, okay? And I was very confused until Sugar Bear explained why he chose that.
We got a connection with deer because we love to get roadkill and we like to clean it. Grind it up, process it, put it in the freezer, and then on the weekends we grill out and have a good time.
Well, when you explain it like that, of course it makes sense. That's a fantastic gift, Sugar Bear.
They eat roadkill.
They drive around and they find an animal in the road and they scrape it up, Kevin, and then they take it home, clean it up,
God,
put it in the fridge.
There's no
they
depth.
Grind it up and they have a good time on the weekend.
And they have a good old time. So that's a very thoughtful gift, right?
Who's hungry?
Talking about this most recent week's Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, a couple more quick clips as once again they try to impress one another. Sugar Bear, he stepped up, brought this great gift to the cafeteria, right? Well, June is also doing something to impress her man, and that is she's decided to eat with a fork during this meal.
And that's a gift?
I'm not kidding.
When June is eating, she's normally got it in her fingers. Well, I think June used a fork this time to try and be a little bit more romantic.
Well, she's being all ladylike, you know, because she's eating with a fork instead of chicken with her fingers.
It didn't work.
I guess, you know, I missed my mouth a couple times, but that's because, you know, it was so like juicy and so good, I guess. I was saving some for later.
You know what happens with the people? They drop all the food and it goes all in the folds of their clothes and stuff like that. The joke is always, I'm saving it for later. That's what she does.
Don't sound sexy.
And one more clip. Here's, again, anniversary dinner. I think that Sugar Bear is getting a little hot, you know, for June as they sit there having their meal. He's trying to get a kiss off, and let's see how that goes.
Me and June fed each other's dessert. I was trying to be romantic with it.
Come on. Oh, come on.
He had dip over your mouth.
I don't.
Well, he had dip all over his mouth because he didn't take his chew out while he was having dinner.
Shut up.
And therefore, June wasn't all that crazy about kissing him. But he did still hold out hope at the end of the episode that he was going to get a little, in his words, something later that night. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's the happy couple.
Wow.
There's the Here Comes Honey Boo Boo TLC Wednesday nights. Please enjoy.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 626.
I'm serious. We got to do something. It's not funny anymore. It's just not funny anymore.
I'm with you.
What happened now, dare I ask?
It's just beer mug.
Oh, well, yeah. Say no more.
Every
no more.
Thought that comes to your mind doesn't need to be said out loud.
Why not?
Because nobody cares about 99% of it.
That's why.
I'm not a dope.
Just factor that in at all times. Say, I want to say this, but I'm a dope, so I probably shouldn't. And just have that little conversation with yourself anytime before you say something.
God, I've had this conversation so many times.
Rob Dyrdek joining us later on. Also, the great actor Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who's having the summer of his life.
Jogo Lev's going to be on.
Calls him that.
And we're going to start calling Jogo Lev.
Nope. Our old friend Jimmy Kimmel as well. First, though, it's Friday. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Scary movies.
Love it.
Used to be around Halloween time, you get all the scary movies. Now, any time of year is scary movie time. The Apparition opens up this weekend. This looks
freaky.
Have you seen the trailer?
Yes.
Where the girl gets possessed, and they look down her throat to see what's going on because she's not feeling well. And you see just fingers coming up from her throat.
That is freaky.
I screamed like a girl and wet myself. And I was just watching the trailer. Great cast, too. Ashley Green, of course, you know her from the Twilight films. Sebastian Stan, who is soon to be seen in the upcoming sequel to Captain America. He was in the original, too, played Bucky in that. Tom Felton from the Harry Potter films. Great, great cast. Couples haunted by a supernatural presence that is unleashed during a college experiment. That is a bad experiment when that happens. Do not do that, colleges. Here are some spooky clips from the spooky trailer to the spooky movie, The Apparition.
If we can pull this off, we'll prove that anything supernatural can exist when people believe it.
Where's the flashlight?
What is that? What the hell is that?
Get the thing off!
What happened to her?
We opened the door and it came through. Once you believe it's real, you die.
Love it.
Close the door.
Couldn't love it
Do
more.
Not open the door and let it through. Would at least give it, make it say a password. Get a velvet rope up in front of that door. Say it's not on the list. Do something.
Once you
stupid
learn that,
college people.
Once you learn that, don't you nail that door shut?
Just I get agitated just seeing the trailers of these movies.
Love it.
Looks spooky. If you're into it, this looks like a good pick for the weekend. Also opening up this weekend, Hit and Run, film from Dax Shepard. Kristen Chenoweth stars in the film, along with Dax, who wrote and directed the film. Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell and Kristen Chenoweth are both in it?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. Is that all right for you?
No, it's fine. I just am surprised.
No.
Dax has lots of famous friends.
He does.
This is one of those low-budget, shoot-it-in-the-house kind of movies.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper is in the film. Dave Koechner, a lot of entertaining people. The getaway driver to a crime who has entered the witness protection plan leaves in order to help his girlfriend get to Los Angeles. Well, that's a bad idea because his former gang catches up with him and they start to chase them on the road. This is a chase movie, basically. Dax Shepard wanted to do a car chase film, and that's what you got, excuse me, with Hit and Run this weekend. Here's a scene where Bradley Cooper is telling Dax one of the reasons he's so angry about him, not just because Dax testified against his former gang members, but bad things happened to Bradley Cooper in prison.
I got in prison because of you. Yeah.
That's horrible. I did not realize that happened in jail. I thought that was a prison thing.
Yeah, well, I guess it's not exclusive to prisons.
Is it a black guy?
Charlie, it doesn't matter who violated him, okay? It could have been any number of people. It doesn't matter their race, okay? Could have been Latino, could have been Tongan, could have been Persian.
It was Filipino! Solve your dilemma of a part of the world my ass traveled to?
Yeah. No, it's not really appropriate conversation.
That was funny, by the way.
That kind of guy.
That does sound funny.
Violated him. You can check that out this weekend. And we're going to talk to Joe Golev later today.
No one calls him that.
Everyone's going to start calling him that.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Now that I have coined it. Don't forget, sir, I am the man who brought you McFever.
That was good.
That was good.
This
and Joe Golev is going to just sweep the nation.
Nope.
Joe Golev stars along with Michael Shannon and Dania Ramirez. Oh, she's every bit of all right. It's called Premium Rush. This film, a Manhattan bike messenger picks up an envelope that attracts the interest of a dirty cop who basically pursues him throughout the city. He's on a bike. The dirty cop's in a car. That's a bad combination. But see, the bike can zip through traffic
sure.
and get in, like,
in New York,
little places that the car can't get. But car has tonnage behind it. And horsepower. So it's got that going for it. So
sure.
It's a classic battle. Here are some clips from the trailer to Premium Rush.
Riley, I got a package for you. It's Premium Rush. Don't screw it up.
Hey, that envelope you picked up, I gotta ask for it back.
Yeah, the thing is, once it goes in the bag, it's gotta stay in the bag.
It's in your best interest to give me the envelope.
If you don't give over that envelope, you have no idea what's coming for you.
You got involved with some people with real problems. It's life and death. Are you negotiating?
Count on it.
See, I just give them the
envelope. Me? I was just thinking, hand it to them.
I don't have a real code of ethics when it comes to my bike messenger gig.
What do I care?
Well,
take it.
You want it back? Oh, why don't you say something? Here, let me reach into my satchel and give you whatever you want so that you don't threaten me.
I'll give you my whole satchel.
Take the bike, too. take my my spandex leggings, my backward painter's cap, whatever it is I got rocking. You can have it all. Just don't hurt me, sir. That's why I'm not a Premium Rush messenger. But Jogolev pulls it off, man.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Jogolev.
All right.
Looks fantastic in this film. He's always good. Look forward to seeing Premium Rush this weekend. Those are your choices. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Crystal Chevalier from Corona. Thank you so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You just won tickets to see Offspring and Neon Trees. They are playing together October 5th at the Palladium. Now you're eligible for the grand prize drawing we do, oh, I don't know, in about an hour to send somebody to New York City to see the bands again. It's destination number 7 of the K-Rock Road Trip USA 2012. Again, that grand prize drawing coming right up.
We always ask the question of each other off the air. You hear the headline, would you read the story?
Mm-hmm.
The headline is World's Smelliest Man Hasn't Bathed in 38 Years.
I must know more.
Must know more.
You just have to walk down to the news studio. That's all you need to know about that, Lisa.
This dude, Kailash Singh, in India, came to this decision in 1974. He stopped bathing because his priest told him that that's the way to have a boy child. If you want to have a boy, don't bathe.
If you want women to just rush you, don't take a bath.
Don't bathe. He's got long dreadlocks that looks like if he lets them go, they would touch the ground.
They're over 6 feet long, these dreadlocks, Lisa.
He had a girl. And then he had another girl. And then he had a third and a fourth and a fifth girl. Still hasn't showered. Sixth girl, seventh girl.
So he's still buying it?
Yes.
Who's having all this sex with this guy decade after decade when he's not showering?
His wife, who cannot sleep in the same bed with him because he smells too bad.
And he's so disgusting.
Yes. And she's 66. Did I mention that? Prime birth-giving age.
She's 60, he's 66, so they are unlikely to be having, forget a son, any more kids.
But he will not bathe until he has a son, which is never going to happen.
It's starting to look like that. The article says he'll bathe in his next life. Well, we wanted to find out more about this remarkable story of the world's smelliest man. Kailash Singh joins us from India on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Mr. Singh, welcome, sir.
Good morning to you. How are you doing today?
We're doing fine. How are you, sir?
I am very good. Thank you very much for talking to me. It's a pleasure to be talking to you, my friend, through the telephone.
It sounds like there's a lot of, are those bees? Flies?
Yes, they're bees. They're bees because I am so sweet. I am like honey, and the bees come around all from all the neighborhoods.
So they're flies.
Yes, they're flies.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
And you live in India, Mr. Singh, you live in India where it gets very, very warm, so I imagine spend...
Some people would say it's hot in India,
Yeah, it's like 100 degrees or something like that. You're outside working, just sweating your ass off day after day and not showering, not bathing.
Damn, these flies are very thick today. Must be all the cows. Must be all the cows in the background here that they are attracted to.
It could be you, Mr. Singh. You might smell pretty
right.
That's crazy
talk. Not, of course, not happening, no. I am very, very happy to be... been one with my God, and to looking forward to having a son any day now.
Well, I mean, at 66 years old, I guess it's possible.
66 years young.
I see.
let me just ask you this question. You have had 7 children. They're all girls.
They are all useless women.
Okay, but why do you keep believing that if you don't take a shower, you'll get a son? Clearly, that's not true.
Well, first of all, I heard a song once that said, "Don't stop believing."
You heard that song?
Yes, I did. I am just a small town girl living in a lonely world. I just think that if I keep in faith with my God and what the priest told me to do, which is to never, 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 never bathe, then I have an excellent chance still of having a son.
Okay, but isn't it possible that this crazy man that you talked to once in 1974 may have had his facts wrong and that you have been living a lie all these years?
I suppose anything is possible, but I am still believing and I am looking forward to having a young male child anytime now with my 60-year-old wife.
I think, doesn't seem likely.
I think we're going to have much success in having a son, and I am looking forward to then, only then, will I be bathing in any way. Except, of course, for my fire bath that I take each evening.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about that. You don't actually take baths and showers, but you do have a ritual that you perform every night. What is the fire bath all about?
I purify my body by smoking marijuana.
Uh-huh.
And then dancing around a bonfire.
That sounds like it would make everything worse.
I'll tell you, that smoke is stinky sometimes. It's amazing. It takes a lot to kill off the other smells that are coming off of my body.
Yeah.
But that does it. The bonfire, usually I just put poop in the fire. I just burn poop, and I roll around in the smoke from the poop fire, and I end up smelling better than I did when I started.
Those flies would tell a different story, I think.
These are sick flies. I'm surprised that there's a cloud of flies around me at this particular time when I'm talking to you right now. They're actually holding the cell phone for me.
Is that right? Come in handy.
So you went to Las Vegas. You thought it would stay there like it's supposed to, according to the ad campaign. And then whatever happened, whatever debauchery went down, came back to bite you in the ass. We're going to be looking for your stories coming up next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. It happened to Prince Harry. Maybe it happened to you. We'll talk about
I got
that
bit
on the
in
way.
The ass in Vegas. It didn't stay there.
See? There you go. Perfect example. That's what we're talking about. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning.
Before I get to the beat, how about some tickets? K-Rock Advanced Screening of the movie called The Possession.
Yay! Those little kids like every single movie.
They love cinema. They love cinema.
They love cinema.
AMC Burbank next Tuesday, August the 28th, we'll be having a special advanced screening of The Possession, starring one of my favorite actors. You know who that is? Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Mm. Love him. Magic City. Kira Sedgwick also in the film. Modest Yahoo also in this film.
What?
Yeah. Didn't know he's an actor. The movie's in theaters everywhere Friday, August the 31st, but if you'd like to see it for anybody else, I've got two pairs of tickets right now. 1-800-520-1067. Call now. Get your tickets for the advanced screening of The Possession, which looks scary as hell. Speaking of scary, here's a guy right after Bean's heart.
Uh-oh.
Right, just same guy.
Uh-oh.
Same guy as Bean.
Okay.
Chris Butler. Drummer for the 80s pop band The Waitresses. Remember The Waitresses?
Yeah.
I know
sure.
what boys like.
Sure.
Remember that band?
Yep. Yeah.
He owns the house that Jeffrey Dahmer owned.
Really?
He's got the Dahmer house.
Hmm. Yeah, Bean would like that.
He would love it. You kidding me? You could hang all his serial killer art in there and just hide the bodies in the backyard. It's already pre-murdered, so it's got a good vibe to it. House is in Bath, Ohio, near where Chris grew up. And he bought it in 2005. Here's the thing. Didn't know that Dahmer killed his first victim in that house back in 1978. Was unaware. Don't they have to give you that information when you purchase
sort of
a home?
There's a time limit, yeah.
Bean knows. He's looked it up.
Yeah.
He can't find certain houses. He's very upset.
Chris bought the house, found out after the fact that it's the Dahmer murder house. And now he's looking to sell. So, Bean, you may want to go over there to Bath, Ohio, and put your offer in. He's asking a low, low $329,000 for the home.
By the way, if you find that out, you don't tell anyone and you sell it.
Yeah, you try to burn someone the way you got burned.
Right.
Yeah, well, it's out now.
Is that I'm being serious now. Would that be an automatic deal breaker for you guys? You'd never buy a house if there was a murder committed in it?
Yes!
Because it's not really the house's fault. The house hasn't done anything. The house isn't haunted.
Why take the risk? I agree. Logically, you're making sense, Bean, but why take the risk?
If it's not haunted, but you know what? Someone got murdered there.
I might.
If you loved it, you might buy Jeffrey Dahmer's house.
Not Jeffrey Dahmer's, but a house where a murder was committed.
Just death, murder.
He's crazy evil, but...
Okay.
But other murderers are fine.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Those
are
good people.
So let's say
murderers.
Someone broke in and murdered someone. Not as bad.
Yes, bad.
Lisa has a sliding scale of murder.
The murder house is bad. You know what they have available for your purchase? Homes where no one was murdered.
But what if it's perfect in every way?
They have non-murder
except for
homes.
That.
They do have non-murder homes.
Lots of them.
Most of them.
Most homes no one was murdered in.
Right.
I'm not going to live in the murder house. Because hey, I'm going to get some bread. Oh, you know what? I just remembered, again, that someone was murdered right over there.
Murder.
Yeah. That's a constant reminder every day when you go get your coffee that, this is where that guy was bludgeoned to death in the kitchen and bled out. That's right. I remember that now every morning when I wake up to get my cereal.
It's the doorbell.
Murder.
So you don't want that.
You get so hung up on little insignificant details, Ralph.
Like murder. Speaking of... Mark David Chapman, the man who murdered John Lennon.
This is the best showbiz beat ever.
Was denied parole for the seventh time this week.
Why don't they just stop pretending?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
They should bring him into the room and play the song Imagine, and then say, imagine you're never getting out of prison. And then send him back to his cell. He is now 57 years old, by the way, Mark David Chapman. He is serving a 20 years to life sentence for shooting Lennon dead in 1980. They heard his parole plea on Wednesday, and they turned him down yesterday.
Now, so. I have to ask, this is an honest question, and I'm no advocate for Mr. Chapman here, but is the fear that he'll become fixated with another celebrity and do it again? Because if his problem was Lennon, there's nothing you can do about
the
that.
The problem solved? Is that what you're saying? Problem solved?
No, what I'm saying is he's no longer a threat to society if his hang-up was John Lennon.
I think if you can get hung
until
up...
Until he really likes the new Michael Bolton album.
Yeah, that's why I was asking. Is that what they're thinking? Is that he might get caught up in somebody else
now? I think
now?
There's a potential there. He has a potential for fixation.
They should let him out, but make him live in Jeffrey Dahmer's old house.
I think that Jodie Foster probably doesn't want to see him get out, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe so.
Since she sort of did that to... No, that was the other one. That was the one who shot Reagan, right? It was Hinckley.
That was Hinckley, yeah. Right. Yeah.
But, I just think, you know, everyone saw you do it and all.
Right. Let's just be safe and just keep you in there where
you're
not going to do it again.
The cops to show up and...
He's not going to get out of jail and make some great contribution to society.
That's what I'm guessing.
Probably not.
Yeah. He bugs me.
He bugged you.
Yeah.
You're against what he did?
That's got a problem with Mark David Chapman.
That's a pretty strong statement.
He bugs.
You sure you want to go that strong?
And music and politics, once again, at cross purposes.
Who used what song and who didn't like it?
No, this time it's different. This is a musical group taking the first shot.
Okay.
They apparently are sticking it to Mitt Romney. The band Devo has just released a new single, which is based on... the fact that Mitt Romney strapped his dog to the roof of his car during a 12-hour drive to Canada in 1983. Which I hope they bring it up at the convention, by the way. They say, hey, how about that dog thing, Mitt?
I'm sure they will at the convention.
It's called Don't Roof Rack Me, Bro. It's by Devo. And that single is now available. And apparently the Romney camp not too pleased with Devo, but that sounds funny to me.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it, but... Seriously, in a million years, is there ever a circumstance where you strap your dog to the car?
No. Well, it was only a 12-hour trip.
Right.
So if you don't have much room in the car, you just tie Fido down to the roof.
Maybe he has goggles. Wasn't his defense that the car was pretty crowded, the dog was more comfortable upstairs?
Yes, exactly. The dog had room to stretch out on the freeway as it bounced.
As it bounced.
Today's celebrity birthdays, wrestling promoter Vince McMahon is 67 years old today. Actor Steve Guttenberg is 54. Craig Kilborn, former talk show host, turns 50 years old today. Marlee Matlin is 47. Dave Chappelle, actor and comedian, 39. Chad Michael Murray from One Tree Hill turns 31 years old. And Rupert Grint of the Harry Potter films celebrates his 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Our old pal Rob Dyrdek joins us later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is going to be on talking about his new film Premium Rush opening up today. Jimmy Kimmel on the show today. And we've got we're going to get the medical opinion, Kevin, on a story that we talked about yesterday about the three-day boner. We got Dr. Moe going to be joining us later to talk about what happens when you put a C-ring, shall we call it, after you've taken Viagra. Not a good combination.
I saw three-day boner last night at the Troub.
How are they? Good?
Not very good.
Oh, really?
They seem tired.
Well, since they fired their sax player, they're not as good. Hey, listen, Prince Harry. Here's a side effect to the Prince Harry story. For those who have not been paying attention to the news the past few days, I guess over the weekend, Prince Harry was in Las Vegas with some friends. And, of course, he is third in line to the British crown. He is ridiculously wealthy. He's 27. He's single. He was having the time of his life and ended up playing something called strip billiards, which I didn't know was a thing. But I guess, as you pointed out, Kevin, you can make any game that you can play. You can make a strip game, right?
Just
if you lose a point, take off a piece of clothing, right?
They brought up a whole bunch of hot chicks to their room and played, and somebody took a cell phone picture, as people do.
Yep. And he was staying, I think, at the Mandalay Bay, I want to say, staying in one of their suites. I think it cost just under $10,000 a night to stay there, by the way. And you got your own billiards table, your own pool table in your room, which is pretty sweet. And that worked out well for the prince. So here's what's cool. So cell phone pictures somehow get out. And I guess some people consider it's embarrassing. I don't even know if it bothers Harry or not. I'm sure he's not looking forward to the conversation with his grandmother. But other than that, what the hell, right? He's just having a great time.
What the hell?
I hear that reservations, not only at the Mandalay, but all over Las Vegas, are going through the roof this week.
What?
Sites like Hotels.com have reported a ridiculous increase in people looking for a place because people are looking at that going, I want to go to Las Vegas.
Hey, I want to be in that strip billiards game.
I want to be in the strip. Right, exactly. So apparently people are still flocking to Vegas because it looks like a good time. But the old saying about what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas apparently not happening so much anymore.
I learned that in the first Hangover.
Remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Except for herpes. That will come back with you.
So well, that's true, actually. So we're going to be looking for your telephone calls here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I know that many, maybe even most of our crowd has been to Las Vegas and gotten their party on. And it doesn't always stay in Las Vegas when you leave. And we want to hear the repercussions from when you got home.
That's not a law. That's a very strong suggestion, people.
Yes.
You don't have to take pictures of everything. There are times when it might be best, Prince Harry, to collect all the phones and put them in a thing and put them away, have your fun, and then leave.
Don't we hear that happening sometimes at some of these high-end after parties where a lot of the celebrities are, is they kind of have a no cell phone
yes.
policy? Like you're not allowed to take pictures just for this very reason, because sometimes you're doing stuff that maybe doesn't look so good the next
day,
right?
People's cameras on many occasions in Vegas.
Really?
Yeah, where just friends or somebody are taking pictures and go, look. From this point on, nothing. No photos.
But what about a guy like Kevin? How does he even remember the stuff that goes on
in
Las Vegas?
For the most part, I don't. And there are a lot of photos out there.
Yeah.
Beer mug?
Yeah. That happened to me. I was stayed at the Flamingo, challenged a bartender, passed out on my bathroom floor in the hotel room, face down, ass up, pants off, and not one, not two, but three of my buddy's girlfriends took pictures on their cell phones of me passed out, and there was a little extra showing underneath, so they got a full showing.
Look,
I don't know where those pictures are.
Nice.
Look, if you're passed out, the rules change.
Yeah.
Really?
I think so.
I don't think I know these rules very well.
I think the rules change. If you're passed out, that's what your friends are supposed to do.
Okay.
You don't
and
pass
draw
out.
On you, right?
Yeah, draw on you, yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
Lisa, if you were at that party at the Flamingo and Beer Mug was in that position past that, how would you not take a
I
picture
would
of that?
To.
You'd have to, right?
Yes.
You'd keep your distance, don't get me wrong. But you'd have to. All right, so you went to Las Vegas and the rule, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, didn't apply. Somehow the photos got back to the wrong people and you got in some trouble with the queen or whoever your parents are. You can call us now, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll take your call.
Talking about how you go to Las Vegas, you're having some fun, you think this is great, I'll go back to the real world tomorrow and no one will ever know about this, but some a-hole takes a photo. That's what happened to Prince Harry last weekend. Now we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
By the way, I just want to say this real quick. Everybody has to document stuff on Facebook.
Yes.
If it's not on Facebook, it didn't happen. Stop it.
Well, that should work, Kevin. Well done.
I mean,
problem
come on.
Solved.
You can pat yourself on the back now.
But seriously, when you go to Vegas, you can have a good time and not post it on Facebook, and everything will just be fine.
Yeah. I'm going to say that that's also true of most other things you do in
that's
your life,
correct.
Including going to concerts, by the way. Why not just sit there and enjoy or stand there and enjoy the concert rather than filming it? Why not that? Spending the time looking at your phone instead of looking at the stage. Dear Kevin and Bean, it started at one bar at a hotel, says Paul, then another, and yet another. When we got to the ice bar, two of us got naked in there, a very typical party for us, but I ended up waking up the next morning with no hair on my head. That's what Paul said. That's his Las Vegas experience that somehow got documented. Let's talk to our Harry. I guess this isn't Prince Harry, but this is a different Harry who's calling the Kevin and Bean Show talking about his Las Vegas experience. Hi, Harry.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin Bean, Lisa?
Hello.
Good. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Number's 1-800-520-1067 if you have an experience like Harry. What happened to you, Harry?
Well, it's my 30th, and we're at the Palms, and obviously drinking just a tad.
A bit.
And that night, early in the morning, I got back to the room, and I guess I had to go number two, so did that and ended up passing out on it. And, of course, my
you
brother...
You passed out on the toilet?
On the crapper.
Wow. Wow, that takes a special something. Usually you have to be a little more comfortable or you fall. How did you
or
not
Jägermeister.
Fall? Yeah, Jägermeister. How did you not fall over?
You know, somehow, some way, I managed to stay on there. I don't know
nice.
How that happened.
Nice work.
But, brother and one of my best buddies got pictures, and it spread like wildfire.
I wonder if it was just that all night long you had been go, 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 you know, drink, 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 and then that was the first time that you actually just sat down and relaxed, you know, and had the ability to just kind of close your eyes. And I wonder if that's why you were so tired, you just fell asleep.
It's a good possibility. The worst part was
yes.
that with the pictures, they made like those little DVD photo books.
Right.
And gave them to everybody on the trip. Of course, Alan was in there.
Yeah. I'd like to suggest, remember what I said about Facebook before? If your friend passes out on the toilet, you take photos yeah. and you post them. I'm sorry.
So they did the right thing.
They did the right thing in this particular case.
Thank you for the call, Harry. We appreciate it very much. Let's go on to line two. This is going to be Susan. Susan calling us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Susan, tell us about Las Vegas.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
All right, what happened?
Okay, so when I was 21, my ex-boyfriend of about 6 years, he decided to dump me out of the blue. So, of course, I went to Las Vegas with my girlfriend.
Sure, cheer you up.
So we had a blast, but I actually ended up in bed with one of their friends. So when that happened, they decided to take a picture when we were sleeping. And at that point, I started talking to my ex-boyfriend again, and they posted it on Facebook.
Kind of friend is that?
I know, but they actually did me a favor.
They did, because you didn't want to get back together with that dude?
No, he was kind of a dude.
Tell me what, I'm sure you were angry at the time, but tell me why your friends took a picture of you in bed with this random hookup. Like, why would they do that?
That's my question.
I think they were just looking out for me.
Why? They were looking out for you? What are you talking about?
He kept breaking up with me about every 3 months to have his fun, and me, like an idiot, would go back and forgive him every time he'd come back crying.
So they wanted to make sure that you were broken up.
Yes.
Okay, that makes a little sense.
And yes. It sounds like, as ridiculous as this whole thing is, it sounds like it worked. It sounds like you're happy with it, and now that it's behind you, it's okay that it happened.
Oh, yeah. 4 years later, and he's still coming back, and I keep telling him.
4 years and 55 guys later. Susan's very happy.
Susan, next time Kevin and Bean, you hear the show's going to Las Vegas, we invite you to come with us, by the way.
All right, thank you.
Congratulations to Rosam Sabalos from Fontana is our grand prize winner. Got tickets to see The Offspring and Neon Trees and won a trip for two to New York City.
Cool.
How about that?
I never win anything, by the way. What's it like to be one of these people who hears their name on the radio and now they've got a free, all-expenses-paid trip to New York City to see The Offspring? That's a pretty sweet deal right there.
Do you ever call?
Well, no.
All right.
No. Wait, you can't win if you don't play? Is that
correct.
How it works?
That's my point.
Congratulations, Roseanne. Thanks a lot for listening to the world-famous K-Rock. Jimmy Kimmel on the program later on today. Also, Joseph Gordon-Levitt will be joining us. Speaking of old friends of the Kevin and Bean Show, Rob Dyrdek back on the phone, back on the show. Of course, Monday nights at 10 on MTV is Ridiculousness. And this weekend, if I have my dates correctly, Rob, this weekend, Street League is airing live on ESPN2. Is that right?
That's right. The Street League Championship is this weekend. 8 guys, winner-take-all championship, $200,000 first prize.
I got to tell you, the video that you just tweeted out of the possible prizes that you could win makes me want to skateboard. Do you think it's too late for me, Rob?
I don't think it's ever too late to start skateboarding.
Okay.
Even if it's inspired by scantily clad dime piece monster girl.
Which it
nothing
is.
Nothing wrong with that. Is this the second season of Street League? Is that right?
This is the third season.
Third season. Okay. How has it, in your mind, I know it's gotten better every year, but in your mind, is it just crazy to think about how it began and what you was going through your head the first year you put it on compared to where it's at now, where it's kind of a known thing?
Oh, man, without a doubt. I think we still got to get, further along, but just to think that, after Sunday, we would have 3 seasons in the bag just seems unreal.
Yeah, you're the kind of guy that kind of comes up with that idea, and then you don't have that second thought, which most of us have, which is it would be really kind of impossible to do. You just skip right to let's do it.
That would be probably my greatest gift. The gift and the curse, because now it's like I have 40 things that, I've been arguing with myself internally. You've got to figure out how to start saying no.
Yeah. Well, this is when we first, you know, got introduced to you, at least I did anyway, back in the TV show, the big, and what was the Robin Big Show. Whatever you come up with, whatever crazy idea you come up with, you're the kind of guy who wants to see it through. You want to figure out a way to buy that thing or do that thing or go to that place or something like that. You never run out of curiosity of things that you're interested in.
And the reason I've been able to do so much is because the moment I decide to do it, I make sure that it happens. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, that's very different from
the
us.
The gift and the curse, guys.
The gift and the curse.
The gift and the curse, indeed.
So Saturday and Sunday, you can watch live on ESPN2. Is that correct?
Yeah, ESPN2 championships at 5 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday afternoon.
Fantastic.
That's sweet.
Saturday's just right. Practice.
Let's talk about another network that you own, and that is MTV with Ridiculousness, which has been going great for you. And then the how does it work with the guest stars that you line up? Like, why is Little John on this week and Tyler, the Creator, next week? Do you just go through the Rolodex, or are people – they contact you because they're fans of the show, or how's it work?
Yeah, I mean, Little John was definitely one that was – he reached out a bunch. Like, I love the show. I want to come on. And, you know, Tyler and Taco, I ran into them in the hallway at Dick House, you know what I mean? And they're friends of mine. But, you know, for the most part, it's you know, we'll reach out to some people. Some people reach out to us. And then it's just, you know, guys that are my friends, you know.
That's what it looks like. When I watch the show, it just looks like you're hanging out with your friends and having fun. And, Rob, you seem like the kind of guy who can fit into any circumstance of any kind of people. Like, you seem like the most easygoing guy in the world. Is there anybody that rubs you the wrong way that you don't get along with?
Not that I can really think of offhand, but I think the thing about me, too, is I like hanging out. I like everybody's story, man. I enjoy going to the car wash and just talking to random people. You know, I feel like for me, it's you know, I have a lot of eclectic friends, and it's just by nature, the curiosity nature of kind of being interested in everybody, man.
That's so funny, because if I go to a car wash, I just sit there and go, don't talk to me, don't talk to me, don't talk to me, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me.
And then it's Rob Dyrdek comes up and says, hey, man, what are you doing? What kind of car you got?
And then I, damn, stop talking to me.
And Rob also seems like a guy, just like our friend Jimmy Kimmel that we're talking to later, who seems like he's exactly the same from when he started to now when he's rich and successful. It doesn't seem like you've changed at all. Are you fooling us here, or would you say that's accurate?
I'm a little bit snobbier.
I hope so. What's the point of being rich if you can't be snobby?
You deserve to be a little snobbier.
Like, I could get a little snobby, but for the most part, you know, I think always it's baffling to me. I'm can take a step back and always look at, like, you know, what I've been able to do and how many people have helped me, and it's always, you know, always humbling as opposed to empowering, you know.
Right. This is the voice of Rob Dyrdek on the phone here. Of course, we mentioned the Street League is airing this weekend at ESPN2 and Ridiculous this Monday nights on MTV. I want to ask you about one more thing, Rob, and I guess it's a sponsor of yours, but this isn't in any way to be a free commercial. I saw you in an interview the other day talking about a monster drink that you are swearing by that has changed your life. What is it, nitrous?
It's nitrous.
What's the deal with this?
I love
nitrous.
Go out and get one. Have you had one?
No. You mean the drink? No.
Yeah, we're talking about the drink here, Kevin.
Oh, the drink.
Not the gas.
Oh.
Tell me why it's so awesome, because you sounded very sincere about this.
That's what I'm saying. I was even saying, like, I'm not even being salesy. It's the reality of, I don't know what it is. It's carbonated with nitrous oxide, and whatever that combination is with the caffeine, I don't know what it is, but it literally makes you think so razor sharp that it allows you to solve any problem. Like, I gave a speech to like 500 people at Monster, like really dead serious about preaching that they should give these to the government and let everybody drink one, and they would solve the entire economic crisis in a few hours.
First of all, I doubt that. Second of all, who needs this more than me?
Yes, you definitely need it. So
I'm not even kidding you. Go get one and see what happens when you drink one.
Believe me, I'm sold. But what do you do? Do you drink one like every morning, or how do you work it, Rob?
No, like, I only, it's like a secret weapon.
You hang on to it till you need
position, it. Yeah, like I don't want to overdo it, so it's like I wait till like, okay, this is a tough situation right now. We need to bring in the nitrous, and we all drink one. And get right into it. It's insane.
I like this, that when you drink one, everyone has to drink one.
Because otherwise, you know what that's like? It's like, if you don't do that, then it's like, yeah, then everyone's sober at the bar and you're the wasted one.
You're the only drunk one, yeah.
Yeah, that's the worst.
It's so crazy, though, because you said that you had some business problem that you were trying to work out that you guys had been struggling with for days or something, and you went and had one of these nitrouses, and all of a sudden it just was like it was crystal clear to you what needed to be done. And I thought, wow, if that's true, if that's really working, I will check it out.
Yeah, I'm not even kidding. Like another really big thing that it would help solve is when we get jammed up on Fantasy Factory Creative, and it'd be like, okay, let's drink a nitrous and then knock out like three episodes. You know, it really is that magical.
Rob Dyrdek is living a magical life. Catch him Monday nights for Ridiculousness at 10 on MTV with lots of great guest stars and very funny videos, too. And, of course, the Street League airing all weekend on ESPN2. Rob, you know how much we enjoy catching up with you, man. It's always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Indeed, guys. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, man. Bye.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt joins us coming up after the top of the hour.
No one calls him that.
Everyone's going to call him Jogolev.
I don't think we're going to be calling him Jogolev.
Jogolev.
Speaking of Ralph, by the way, I will tell you, I'm rarely envious of others' weekend plans, uh-oh, but the fact that you're going to Ottawa this weekend sounds very exciting.
How?
Because I've never been to Ottawa. I've always wanted to go to Ottawa. It's been on my short list of cities I'm dying to get to.
You're due for a haircut?
You need a longer list. I hear great things about Ottawa. It's got that beautiful river running through the downtown and everything. I've always wanted to see it. It's the capital of Canada. Why not?
Oh,
it sounds like fun.
Canada.
You're going with Kevin Smith. You're going to be doing the show from there?
We're doing Hollywood Babylon at the Centrepoint Theater in Ottawa, Canada, tomorrow night. So for all of our Canadian listeners, our Canadian affiliates up there, please come by.
I don't think we have any.
What?
Are you going to be bringing all your all-star Canadian impressions? You're going to be, you know,
doing
your
Shatner.
Guy from Rush and Shatner. And Justin Bieber.
Bring
them all,
yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing them all. It's going to be a big
very excited. Match. Look forward to hearing that podcast when it gets up there. All right. Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, 7:53. Time for the Showbiz Beat.
I wish I could see more of Ottawa, but it's going to be one of those turnarounds. I leave today after the show.
Yeah.
It's on the other side of the world, so I get there late tonight.
Right.
I'll prep for the show Saturday. We do the show 8 o'clock Saturday night. I will be drunk by the end of that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then I will wake up hungover in Ottawa, get back on a plane and fly back.
I'm thinking
Los
that's
Angeles.
The best way to do it.
I don't think so. I've heard lovely things about Ottawa as well, but okay. I'm not going to be able to see much of the city. Mm. So. And I'm missing out tonight on a great event that if I was in town, if I was going to be here, I would be at.
What's happening tonight?
I want to give everyone a shout out. If you are, like me, a rabid Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan, if you're a animation fan, I loved that cartoon and I love animation. Tonight, they're doing a very special event up at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater, where we usually do Hollywood Babylon. They're doing, tonight for the first time ever live on stage, the original four cast members of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are going to be together for the first time. Rob Paulsen, who is a legend, was also Yakko in the Animaniacs cartoon. Barry Gordon, Townsend Coleman, and Cam Clark are all going to be there. Peter Renaday, by the way, who was also Splinter. They're all going to be there, and they're going to do a podcast talking about the history of the show. A lot of hardcore fans out there who want to see these guys together again. They're doing a podcast tonight live at the Lovitz. You can go to thelovitz.com for more details and for tickets. And then they're doing an autograph signing. All the proceeds of which will go to an amazing charity that I have long been a fan of and dedicate a lot of cash and money to, called Operation Smile. Are you familiar with these guys?
Oh, yeah.
International medical charity that provides free reconstructive surgery to kids born with cleft palates and cleft lips.
Yeah.
All over the world. Operation Smile That's is the cool. name of it. And you can go to operationsmile.org if you want to donate, if you can't make it tonight. But they're going to charge $20 for an autograph for all the turtles. You can bring one item, anything you got from your collectibles, whatever. They will sign it for you. And 100% of the proceeds will go to Operation Smile tonight. So, again, that's at thelovitz.com. You can get your tickets to go see the podcast. Uh-huh. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant. You know what they are?
What? Heroes on a half shell.
Turtle power! Cowabunga, dudes!
You are such a
Cowabunga,
gigantic...
dudes! You're an amazingly large dork. Oh. Leonardo and Michelangelo all together tonight.
What a geek fest.
You don't know, Kevin.
I may not.
You don't know. Hey, they're at it again. The Parents Television Council.
Oh, good. What do I need to watch or go see?
They are very upset. They are the Christian right-wing TV watchdog group, and they have released their study today saying that full frontal nudity on primetime television is up 6,300%.
Only 6,000%.
Only 6,300% in primetime, full frontal nudity. Well, that's right. Actors fully nude on your television all the time.
Have I missed this?
Yeah, what shows should I be watching? Because I'm not seeing
it. The only problem with this study is that it's not. It's not up 6,300%. In fact, it doesn't exist.
What?
They are looking at any scene where an individual is completely unclothed but is covered by something, like if someone's holding a pillow in front of their genitals.
Really?
Or if anything's pixelated or blurred on the screen, they are considering that full frontal nudity.
Huh. That's the worst kind of full frontal nudity, though.
You know why?
It doesn't even qualify.
Because it's not full frontal nudity.
Right. That's absurd.
Yeah. 74% of the incidents cited by the PTC in this study show blurred or pixelation or sexual body parts being otherwise obscured with a digital effect. The other 5% of the cases, a black bar or object covered the nudity. So that gets us to 79%. They just haven't said what are the other ones are.
Wow.
Because they don't exist. But they are very upset, and they're sending angry letters to the FCC, and they've released this study, and we're all going to hell. If any of it were true, there might be a problem.
There's some on Boss. I can tell you that. Yeah, There's some on Strike Back on Cinemax.
But that's the pay cable. They're saying regular broadcast television. 6,300% rise in full frontal nudity.
That's flawed.
Only in the sense that it's completely wrong. But what if it wasn't? I guess they're asking us to imagine. What a bunch of douchebags.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about more showbiz news. Lindsay Lohan! Very upset that her name is being drugged through the mud again. She tweeted yesterday with all this negative press about her and her jewel theft ring.
Right.
It's BS, she claims.
Now, she went to a party. Two of her friends may have stolen something, or that's what...
She went to a party, ended up staying overnight at the party's house, along with her two house guests that she brought along with her. The host of the party found the next day jewelry and sunglasses and watches missing from his personal items.
I don't think it's that big of a leap.
He seems to think it's the two fellas she brought with her that were perpetrators of this crime. Lindsay was questioned by the LAPD when the thefts were discovered. She quickly left for New York.
She fenced the jewels, right?
But then tweeted yesterday that this is people fabricating lies, in her words, and it's simply a shame what they're doing to her.
It's possible that's true.
It is possible that's true. But it's also possible that your friend stole some stuff.
Full frontal nudity is 6,000% up.
There's too much
smoke around Lindsay week in, week out to not occasionally be a fire, right?
Yes.
Crotch.
While we're talking about the Christian right wing and trying to save our souls, Emma Watson says that they're trying to save her soul. She, of course, Hermione from the Harry Potter movies. She tells the New York Post that a lot of people think her films are unchristian.
Oh, because there's magic?
Because, Kevin, it celebrates paganism and magic and the dark arts.
Yeah.
And they are concerned for her soul, so she says they continually send her Bibles.
Oh, God.
Trying to help her. She says right now she's got 20 Bibles in her collection, the ones that she has kept.
Does that work?
And it's a pretty popular idea, apparently, to send her a Bible in order to save her soul. Ryan Gosling in the news today.
Not that quick, man.
All right, I'm just saying. I thought maybe sometimes it's right there. I hear
Come
it all
on
the time.
Yeah.
He is...
Only when it doesn't fit.
Spilling secrets about Britney Spears. The two of them, of course, used to work together on the Mickey Mouse Club. And he says he feels bad because he thinks he might be responsible for making her so sex-crazed.
Oh, really?
He's got to be joking.
No, he says when they were on the set as little kids together, he would tell her all about sex positions while they were working on the Mickey Mouse Club.
Tell me about the rusty trombone. Okay.
Unfortunately, Britney eventually told her mom, Lynn Spears, who then complained to the producers and the hires up at Disney that Ryan Gosling was a little perv and was corrupting her
her sweet little girl, Brittany. And so they stepped in and they said, Ryan, you have to stop talking about sex stuff to Brittany. Her mom's freaking out.
That's funny.
He says he feels guilty for possibly making her sex craze because he feels like he had some hand in. And he may have had a hand in. Who knows?
Allegedly.
No, he did. No.
Ryan Gosling.
There we go. Should we take a look at today's celebrity birthdays?
Sure.
Rupert Grint is 24 years old today. That's right. Send him a Bible. Send him a Bible for his birthday.
Magic.
Save his soul. From the Harry Potter films, of course. Get a lot of hostile emails.
You should be.
From Los Angeles King fans.
You should be.
Saying I didn't mention Anze Kopitar's birthday.
You did not.
Who is 25 years old today.
The center for the Stanley Cup champion Los Angeles Kings.
These are all true.
Yeah.
If I were doing something called the sports beat, then I would understand more, I think, the outrage and anger that's being directed towards me.
Well, you're wrong.
But anyway, we all wish him a happy birthday. Chad Michael Murray from One Tree Hill is 31 years old today. Dave Chappelle celebrates his 39th birthday. Marley Matlin is 47. Marley, how do you guys celebrate your birthday?
Happy birthday to me. Nice. Happy birthday to me.
Wow.
Yay.
Marley sounds more like she's holding a mouthful of soup trying to sing than she really is, perhaps, that she's hearing impaired. Craig Kilborn, former talk show host and former Sports Center host, is 50 years old.
Former
today.
Human being. I haven't seen
he's
him
around someplace.
15 years.
I hope he made a lot of money doing whatever he used to
Must
do.
Have.
Steve Guttenberg, the Goot, one of Psycho Mike's favorites, is 54 years old. And wrestling promoter Vince McMahon celebrates his 67th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt just didn't want to talk to you, Kevin.
I think that's
the problem, because otherwise he seems like the nicest guy in the world. But for whatever reason, it comes time to interview you, he's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, I was at Comic-Con, and I was the only other person in the room. They said, no time. I was like, that's Comic-Con. Okay, no problem.
And then we've got him lined up to talk to the Kevin Beach show today, and he's getting ready to get on the phone. And then he goes, wait a minute, who in Bean? And they said, oh. Kevin. He's like, oh, man, not that dude.
I hate Boom. That guy.
Well, they're still trying to corral him, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to him, the star of his new film, Premium Rush. Hopefully that'll be coming up in a couple minutes. First, though, we haven't heard these Afro calls yet, but we bet they're entertaining. 323-520-AFRO is the number. That's the number you call 24 hours a day. Leave a voicemail for us.
Hey, we heard from Sam. How exciting is that? The Armenian comedian.
Kevin, I'm being, guess what I'm doing right now? I'm having my lunch, man. This is awesome. Oh, my tummy feels so good now.
Thanks for that info.
Wow.
His tummy feels good.
Okay.
Here's some love for Beer Mug.
I hate Beer Mug so much. I hate him so much that I now drink before noon.
Us too.
By the way, just so you know, Mugs, and I know you're sensitive. You're sensitive, Beer Mug, and you get your feelings hurt. We tell Omar only to give us, like, the top 100 Afro calls that people call in that hate you. The rest of them we don't even tell you about.
All right.
You're the 7 million. I'm not sure if this lady's crazy or not. You tell me.
Barack Obama's roofie did not murder me.
His roofie did not murder her.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thank you, dear.
An important message.
You know, with all this talk about Romney and Obama, it's easy to forget that there's another candidate out there that we should be voting for.
Oh.
Don't forget, Coney 2012. Come on, people. We could do it.
Yeah, it does seem like he peaked too early with all those bumper stickers. Now, when we could use the votes,
I don't think
he's nowhere to be seen. Where is he in the debate?
I don't think that's
an excellent point.
Candidate.
That's what my car insurance company and the police have been waiting to hear.
All right. Thank you, man. Thank you for calling back. It's very important.
I'm not sure what I was listening to, and I heard Lisa May talking about her big jam box.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure she said her boner was going crazy.
Yep.
He said all of that.
She did say
all
of that.
It's true, and it's all completely true.
All in one sentence. Yeah. Her dog is named Boner, for those of you that don't get the reference.
Hey, I was wondering, does Bean have any tattoos? I think he should, because it's only fair that K-Rock has its own tattooed asshole.
See,
wow.
Because we were talking about
of the woman with the...
She tattooed her butthole.
Uh-huh. Wow. How are you going to come at me like that?
That was strong.
That last segment didn't mention the word butthole nearly enough.
Yes, we did get a lot of complaints about there wasn't enough butthole on that particular show, yes.
We'll go back and add some.
Hey, Omar, I just got a butt tattoo. Oh,
yeah.
petered out at the end there.
Yeah.
I think someone should get Beer Mug's face tattooed and their mouth be the butthole. Oh. Because so much comes out of his mouth, might as well make the tattoo do the same thing.
That's impressive.
It's a good point.
That's a fantastic idea.
Hadn't thought of that.
Psycho Mike butthole tattoo idea. Tip jar. Get it? Just the tip? on each butt cheek, on the left one, you would put sub, and on the right one, you would put way, subway, and the actual butthole, you guys should tattoo, eat fresh, amazing.
I'm sorry, you lost me about 10 minutes ago on that one.
Did he say amazing at the end?
I think so.
He lost me on that.
Was he high-fiving himself for that one?
Harvey Levin just straight out asked me for sex.
I'm sure that's what happened, man. I'm sure all the facts in that statement are true.
I love this woman so much. She's just insane.
Harvey Levin just straight out asked me for sex.
I can guarantee that didn't happen.
I haven't heard you guys say anything about this recently, but I'm going to need an update for when the it comes out on DVD.
When the what? What did he say? Mm-hmm. Comes out?
Miptic.
I don't know.
Fine. Okay. Too sexable for my shirt. Too sexable for my shirt. Too sexable for my shirt.
I'm standing by sexable. Look, it was a mistake.
You said. It's
it
a good
was
word.
Clearly a mistake when I said sexable, but sexable is.
Works.
It works. You know what it means?
It's a word that didn't exist before Kevin used it on Kristen Bell, but it's a word that needs to exist because it has a specific meaning, which is she's hot enough to have sex with. She is sexable, right?
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
And if you don't mind my saying, you're incredibly sexable, sexy in that movie.
That was by the way, a moment
she's both.
With Kevin.
By the way, what was lost in that is that I was talking about a TV show, not a movie.
Well then.
323-520-AFRO. That is the number. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt has been located. We'll talk to him next, coming up here on the Kevin and Bean. Great news, Kevin. It's not you. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is on the phone. He's going to talk to us.
Hello?
Hey, Joseph.
Hey, hey.
How are you?
I'm well. Sorry I was late, guys.
No worries.
We know how you big Hollywood stars are, man. We know how you step all over people.
Wait, you're never late.
I'm always late, first of all.
Yeah, that's true. All right, you're right. All right, maybe it's a human thing. Hey, listen, I need you to help me with a serious problem I'm having, Joe. Do you mind if can I burden you with this, please?
I imagine this is really serious.
I saw The Dark Knight Rises, and you were terrific in that. And Looper doesn't come out until September, and I'm worried that there's no Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie that I can go see in between. What can I do with that?
Right. Yeah, hey, it turns out there's a movie coming out today.
What?
That
what are the chances?
Yeah.
No way!
I know, it's weird that I happen to be on your radio show that very same day.
That's crazy.
Just a lucky coincidence. All right, so you're riding a bike a lot in this movie, right?
Yeah, it's true.
That's a deal breaker. If I get as many scripts as you get, I do not get a script where I have to ride a bike around New York City for 3 months. That just looks like a hell on wheels, no pun intended.
Well, when I first read the script for Premium Rush, I was in the middle of shooting the movie 50-50 that I was in last year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that movie, I was, battling cancer and, it's a guy whose body is giving up on him. So it sounded great playing somebody who was really healthy and confident in their body and getting fit and riding around New York City all summer. It actually sounded really good.
And then you did it and?
Oh, it was super fun, man.
It was fun. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I like riding a bike. I don't know. You do not like riding bikes?
I do like riding bikes, but through New York on.
Yeah, not in that traffic. I mean, that just looks like every second you're always 1 second away from death riding through that kind of traffic, I would imagine. I don't know how those guys are able to do that. What is the mindset? I'm sure you talk to people who do it for a living for reals. What's the mindset that gets them through their day?
Well, first of all, it's fun, and you can go faster than the cars, which for me, I grew up in L.A., which is a car-centric city. So the idea that you can get on a bike and beat the cars is just it's like a triumph of my 14-year-old self. You know what I mean?
You spent your entire childhood sitting in cars stopped.
Yeah, exactly. But it's really fun riding around because your mind just has to focus on one thing. You can't think about anything else at all. Because you're right. If you do take your mind off it and your mind wanders, you'll hit somebody or something will hit you.
It seems like that would happen anyway. Even if you're paying attention, it seems like you're going to get hit.
No, if you pay a lot of attention, I would say no.
Really?
All right. Yeah. This was not a Hollywood closed set with a fake street and fake traffic and fake people. You're in the wild filming a lot of this movie, right?
Well, it's both. It is a Hollywood closed set for a lot of it, but yeah, it's live traffic for some of it. And then, I mean, it's both. It's a big mixture. Because the whole movie is on a bike, so it's really every variation you can imagine. Sometimes the camera is on a motorcycle following us. Sometimes the camera was mounted on the top of a big ass SUV. You know, they did it all different ways. Sometimes they used just those little digital cameras and mounted it on top of the bike.
Yeah.
It's really cool looking, actually. I gotta say, for just a really fun popcorn chase movie, this movie it delivers that.
Tell me that you took a facial though. Tell me that you really went head over the handlebars once. You ate it big time.
Oh, dude, I got 31 stitches one time.
31 stitches at one time.
Yeah. Well,
are you happy now, Kevin, that he got hurt?
Yeah. And did they get the shot? And are they going to use it?
Well, here's what happened. It was sort of a perfect storm. Everything went wrong at once. In New York City, you know, the United Nations is there.
Right.
So they have diplomats there with these diplomat license plates, and they're basically just allowed to break the law.
They can do anything they want to not get a ticket.
Yeah, exactly. So this guy, he broke across our lockup, the cones and the cops and everything, and he just parked. Double park right where we were headed. And then he got out. Yeah, he got out of his car, opened the door, got out, and started yelling at us. But when I say us, that's not me, because I was still, you know, down the block coming at him at 30 miles an hour. So, basically it was that. Plus, I'll admit it was partially my fault because I was going a little too fast.
And
I ended up going through the rear windshield of a taxi cab and getting 31 stitches. But the thing is, when you cut up your arm like that, you don't feel the pain right away. Your body floods with adrenaline, and it doesn't hurt at first. So I got up. I was just like, oh, my God, I'm totally bleeding all over the place. I've never seen this before. And the director ran up, like, breathless, so nervous, because he thought I had died or something.
Right.
He didn't see it because I was off camera because I had been going too fast. He's like, are you okay? And I was like, dude, you have to record this. Look at my arm. It's covered in blood.
And they didn't get it on film?
They didn't get the fall on film, but I did cajole him into taking out his phone and recording and recording video, and they put that in the movie after the credits.
Oh, nice.
If you stay after the credits, you can see the director's iPhone footage of my bloody arm.
Sweet.
This is the voice of Joe Gordon-Levitt here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about his new film opening everywhere today called Premium Rush. It's so weird what you say about the adrenaline, Joe. We had a guy in promoting Shark Week last week who had his ankle, you know, his foot from the ankle down, bit off by a shark. Didn't even know it was missing until he got out of the water. I mean,
wow. How
crazy is that, what the human body will do to protect you in those extreme circumstances?
What the human brain will do.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Talk for a minute. I know we're almost out of time here, but talk for a minute about one of my very, very favorite actors, Oscar-nominated from Revolutionary Road, Boardwalk Empire, of course. Michael Shannon is kind of your foe in this film. I can't imagine how – is that guy super intense in person too, or is he just such a great actor that I can't even believe he's a regular dude when you meet him?
He is a regular dude. He's a dude with a really dry sense of humor. But he's so good in this movie, man. It's something different than he's ever been. He's like an evil, humongous Bugs Bunny.
What? I don't understand what just came out of your mouth.
No, it's really true. You know, it's funny. I just saw a commercial for Premium Rush on TV last night. And to be honest, I thought it was misrepresentative because they make it look really serious. And like, everyone's in danger. We blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just a thriller. I don't know why they're advertising it like that. It's actually a really funny movie. It's really lighthearted and just like a great chase movie. My character is named Wiley after the coyote. More like the Roadrunner.
Right.
He's more like the coyote. But that's the tone, man. Michael Shannon is so funny in it. I would see it just for his performance.
I have one last question, and I'm going to play a clip first, and then I'll ask you the question.
Wiley, I got a package for you. It's Premium Rush. Don't screw it up.
That envelope you picked up, I gotta ask for it back. Yeah, the thing is, once it goes in the bag, it's got to stay in the bag.
It's in your best interest to give me the envelope.
If you don't give over that envelope, you have no idea what's coming for you.
Okay, so give him the envelope. Right?
No, dude.
What? What do you mean no? How much do you care about that envelope? You have no idea how many people are going to die.
It's an NYPD thing, man. You can't just give them the envelope because the cop asked you to. He's a dick cop.
See? Come on, Kevin.
All right. I wasn't taking the dick cop into account.
It looks like great fun. It is called Premium Rush. Michael Shannon, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and I know you got Looper coming out at the end of next month. Next time you have a chance, Joe, you got to come back in and spend some time with us. We really enjoy talking to you, dude.
Well, you know, I grew up listening to you guys. I love being on your show.
Thank you, man.
We appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What? Very quiet. What are we shaking about? What's going on? Very quiet. Shh. Let it fade. Let it. This is my favorite part.
It's done now.
Oh. It's the world famous K-Rock. It is 20 till 9.
We'll talk to our friend Dr. Mo coming up in about 30 minutes or so about the Laguna Beach man who popped a Superman Viagra, it's called, Viagra and Cialis together, and then put a metal ring around his penis.
Sure, that's what you do.
And then got a 3 or 4 day erection that ended him having to call the paramedics. So I think you're going to love that story very much. That's coming up. But first, what about Jimmy Kimmel? What about all the news that's going on with our man Jimmy Kimmel, whose show in January, just as it celebrates its 10th anniversary at late night on ABC, is going to be moving to a new time slot, 11:35 p.m. Move it up a half hour to compete with the big boys. Jimmy Kimmel joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. Hey, James, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. Guess what? I also have a metal ring around my penis.
Is that right?
Yep.
I don't doubt that at all. Hey, we just had Joseph Gordon-Levitt on with us a couple of minutes
ago. Go.
No one calls him that.
And I know that he was on your show the other night promoting his Premium Rush movie and brought up that he had been a fan of yours on the radio. He mentioned that he used to listen to you as the sports guy on the Kevin and Bean Show. And I was just wondering, does that happen very often? And aren't you successful and famous enough now that you can just deny that you ever used to be on this show?
It happened just that once.
Okay.
No, it does. It happens with young guys. Yeah, that seems to be exclusively. It appears that no women were listening to the show during any of those years.
For good reason, probably.
Yeah. I do hear it from time to time, especially from kids. I think you'd be surprised at how many child actors were listening to the show.
That's scary.
And it's like, you know, as child actors go crazy and do terrible things.
Right.
Turns out we're responsible for that.
That was because of us?
Yeah.
How about that? That hurts.
Well, listen, you're so much going on with you right now. It seems like a week doesn't go by we're not in the paper with some big news. First of all, congratulations on your upcoming nuptials. We're very happy to hear about that. You and your lady decided to get married.
Thank you.
When's that going to be? You have any idea when that might be, James?
Hey, hold on, let me announce it. No, I don't know exactly, but...
Did that not happen?
What? Did what not happen?
Did you get engaged?
No, I got engaged. Oh. You know, I can't tell when we're going to get married.
When and where? That's all we want.
Like you guys care.
You won't invite me, though, right, Jim? We know better than that. Right?
I will absolutely invite you just to punish you.
No, please don't. All right, so that's
and
thing
you know why? I will especially be curious to see if you guys will continue with the tradition of tuxedo shorts.
Hey, that's getting dressed up. Give us some benefit of the doubt there. Come on. All right.
Come on, Jim. Just because you wear a suit now doesn't make you better than us.
So thing two is the Emmys are coming up pretty fast here in, what, 2 or 3 weeks or something like that? How's the preparations for that going?
Oh, poorly.
Really?
No, it's going pretty good. You know, I have too much time to think about it, so I wind up coming up with a plan and then scrapping that plan and coming up with another plan. And it would be better if they woke me up in the middle of the night and said, you're going to host the Emmys today.
Go now.
Yeah.
Do it.
And I remember when we spoke with you after the White House Correspondents' Dinner and you thought that was probably tougher than doing the Emmys will be just because this is more in your wheelhouse with more people you know, right?
Definitely. Yeah. Okay. That was brutal.
Now, Jimmy, you're moving to 11:35 is the best news I've ever heard. A.
Better than Osama bin Laden being captured and killed?
I think so. B. I remember the early days when you started doing your show. They would renew you on a weekly, if not daily, basis.
Yeah, more or less.
Remember that at the beginning? Like, I don't know. We're going to give them another 2 weeks. We'll see how it goes. Now they're putting you at 11:35.
Yeah, but I only have a 2 week deal to stay there.
Are you getting angry hate mail from Nightline fans who have been watching that show at 11:30 for the last 30 years?
No. None.
You know why? There aren't any.
Yeah.
That's why they're moving Jimmy.
They don't know how to do email.
Is this something that you've been lobbying for a long time, Jim?
It's something I've never really lobbied for because we're in a good spot at midnight, and I could continue doing it at the show at midnight for a long time, I think. You know, there's no pressure really to do it because we're doing pretty well there. But I think at a certain point, ABC decided that this would be a smart move for them, and I didn't play a role in that decision. They told me.
They just said, "Hey, 11:35," and you went, "Okay." Letterman used to be your hero, right? Or still is?
Of course, still is. Yeah.
Now you're competing against him. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I kind of was anyway. You know,
yeah, half of it.
We overlapped for 35 minutes, so you know, so I've kind of gotten used to that idea.
What if you put the nail in his coffin, though, Jim? Would you feel bad?
What if you're the guy who drives him out of television?
He's your hero.
Like you guys did to Mark and Brian?
Yeah, exactly.
Look, how much longer can Leno and how much longer can Letterman go? I mean, at some point in the next few years, Jim, you're going to be the old man of late night television, right?
I already feel like I'm the old man of late night television. That's what I kind of you know, everybody's like, oh, those old guys, get rid of those old guys. And they sit here going, oh, I'm going to be one of those old guys. I don't like this talk. I don't want to buy into it right now.
Because old guys should go away?
Well, just unless I die, I'm going to get old.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's a no-win situation here.
Yeah. Now, I can't imagine you'll make many changes to your show, will you? I mean, it seems like what you're doing is working. Do you anticipate, because now you're going head-to-head with their monologue, that things will be different for you, or no?
No, I think it's going to be pretty much the same. Although, who knows, I might get a call from somebody in the network and says, okay, now, you're going to have a co-host.
What?
Something like that.
Well, I saw your announcement.
Fred Willard.
I saw your announcement the other night that you're upgrading Guillermo's position and putting Mario Lopez in at the door, and I thought that was a good move.
Guillermo will be replaced by Mario Lopez. Yeah, there's going to be some improvements.
Younger and prettier.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
It's super exciting, though, Jimmy. And you've also signed a new 2-year deal with the network, too, right?
We're replacing our band leader, Cleto, with Nick Lachey.
Another great idea. It's just damned exciting, James. I think that's the only reason we wanted to have you on, is just to once again tell you how proud we are and how excited we are for you. I mean,
very
seriously.
Nice of you guys, and I appreciate it. I really do.
But it's stupid.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Because we know Jim, and Letterman is Letterman, and Leno is Leno, and then there's you, and you're going to be going up against him. That's ridiculous.
Do you remember that time many years ago when Leno called in the show to promote one of those books in which he with alleged stories of his life?
Yes, the audio book, right.
And we had the book on tape, and we played a couple of – we made up a couple of clips, and he hung up on us.
Yep, yes, I do. Good times. Yes, I do.
Now you're his major competition.
That's kind of where it started.
I just feel, again, not to, you know, put too fine a point on what Kevin is saying, is that you're Jimmy Kimmel. I feel like you're a guy they pulled out of the stands and put on the Olympic Dream Team
all
to play
right,
basketball.
I get it. I'm not qualified for the job. Jesus Christ.
But that's what makes us more happy.
Jimmy Kimmel Live airs weeknights for now at midnight on ABC, but in January, 11:35. If you are doing some sort of crazy promo tour for the Emmys, if it gets closer to that in a couple weeks, Jim, feel free to come on back.
Yeah, of course. And there'll be a little something extra in the envelope this week.
Thank you, Mr. Leno. Bye-bye. Bye. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
One of my faves, Robert Sean Leonard, my co-star from House. News about his career. He is doing a story arc on Falling Skies, great TV show over on TNT.
That sci-fi
series with Noah Wiley. According to Deadline.com, he's going to play a new character who is an obsessive and gifted scientist who lives underground, runs Charleston's power grid, but also conducts experiments with all his pet rats, and the children call him the Rat King.
Sweet.
So
that's not a title you want.
RSL, get a new gig.
That's a good show. I like that.
Never
does
work
RSL
again.
Know Jogo?
RSL Jogo, I'm sure, hang. Okay. They're both child actors. They hang in the gang. Great guy, by the way, that Robert Sean Leonard. Very, very nice dude. Also joining the cast is Gloria Rubin, who used to be on ER, that also starred Noah Wiley. That's 6 degrees of Anthony Edwards right there.
Everybody that he knows.
Yeah, exactly. Can you believe... This is proof of the old theory that if you stick around long enough, you become revered. Eddie Murphy has been a movie star for 30 years.
No.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been anything that I've wanted to see in a long time.
No, I hear you. But yeah. I'm just saying, he has been a big movie star for 30 years. They are putting together a TV special which will highlight Eddie's career as a stand-up comedian and movie star, featuring many of his co-stars will be stopping by paying tribute to him. It's going to be it's going to be a live event that will be recorded and televised to air a couple weeks later on Spike TV. But his co-stars from 48 Hours, Trading Places, Beverly Hills Cop, Shrek, and more will all be there. Show will be taped in Los Angeles on November the 3rd, 30 years to the day after 48 Hours hit the movie screens. Do you remember 48 Hours when that came out?
Oh, yeah.
No one had seen anything like it. It was like the funniest, coolest buddy film ever. Like, this guy's going to be a big star. This kid from Saturday Night Live has really got a future.
He did.
And then he did Dave. Or whatever that movie was. Big Dave's talking head. Or he was working a robot from inside the guy's head.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one. Yeah. Then he started playing all the roles in all his movies.
Pluto Nash. Just saying.
Yeah. Hasn't exactly peaked.
Or peaked way early. A long time ago. More casting news. Michael Bolton will be guest starring on the season opener of Two and a Half Men. Finally, I can avoid Michael Bolton and Two and a Half Men all at the same time. It's a perfect combination for me. He'll be playing himself on the show, apparently. Ashton Kutcher's character gets so drunk that Michael Bolton has to bring him home, which I'm sure Michael Bolton does. I'm sure he goes around just helping drunks.
That's usually his thing.
Getting them home. Romance news. Katy Perry and John Mayer no longer a couple.
All right.
Maybe because she keeps showing her ass to everybody at Raging Waters, he got a little upset and said, enough already with you, you hoe. You water park hoe.
Big ones, right?
Yeah, she's got big ones. I still love those pictures, by the way. I've heard
I do, too.
Nice, meaty, milky white ass just hanging out of that bikini. That was a good day. Good day for mankind. And...
What?
I'm tired of Lindsay Lohan complaining about how she's treated in the media. Because, look.
She has deserved a lot.
Yes, some of it she gets a lot of heat, but she really has earned her share, I think.
Big ones, right?
Yeah, she also has big ones. She's complaining about the fact that the press is talking about this party she was at where jewelry and sunglasses were stolen. And the fact that police interviewed her because there was an allegation that the two gentlemen she brought to this party may have been the culprits. So she has gone on Twitter defending herself, saying all the negative press she's receiving is BS. People are fabricating lies. She's doing great. And it's simply a shame that people just can't leave her alone.
She then tweeted,
do you want to buy a watch? So I don't know if they're connected or anything. But it could be true. But yes, like we've said, you know, you live your life a certain way. Look, you know what you did do? You went into that nightclub last week and said, this girl, Francesca Eastwood, is a nobody. Get her out of the VIP area because I want to take it over.
That happened.
And people saw you and you made an ass of yourself. So
that's alleged.
No, it's not. That happened. Oh. That is science.
That's not science.
It is. They proved it in the lab.
I don't think so.
And Devo's sticking it to Mitt Romney. Who thought Devo would be relevant again in 2012?
I'm still not convinced.
They've got a new single based on the story of Mitt Romney strapping his dog to the roof of his car during a 12-hour drive to Canada in 1983.
Is it called Strap It? Strap It Good? File.
That would make sense. They had a song called Whip It.
Saying it higher doesn't make it better.
It does for me.
The single's called Don't Roof Rack Me, Bro. See, that's better than Strap It.
Come on, you can't laugh that hard at your own joke.
Why wouldn't you say, is it called Roof It? Roof It Real Good or Woof It or something? Strap It?
I just kept saying close. Strapping the dog to the roof, and I thought...
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
I accept your score.
By the way, the band's putting together a new album.
All right.
So, for those of you waiting for the new Devo album, they had a comeback album in 2010 on their original label, Warner Brothers, but that deal has since gone by the wayside. So, the band will release new music on their own, they say, which is the nice thing about the new world we live in. You don't really need a record label anymore. You can release your own stuff. At least that's what I say.
Well, what you say goes.
Just ask Joe Golev. Let's talk about celebrity birthdays. Vince McMahon, king of the WWFE. EF?
EF, yeah, whichever it takes. I think it's E.
He is 67 years old. Today, actor Steve Guttenberg is 54. Craig Kilborn, former talk show host, turns 50 years old. Today, actress Marlee Matlin is 47. Dave Chappelle, 39 years old. Rupert Grint is 24. Chad Michael Murray of One Tree Hill is 31 years old. And here you go, Kings fans. Your center, Anze Kopitar, celebrates his 25th birthday today. Go Flyers. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
We will introduce you to the smelliest man in the world coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the world-famous K-Rock. First, though, yesterday we were talking about a great story out of Laguna Beach. I love it so much. If you missed it, it's happened last Saturday afternoon in the 400 block of Hill Street in Laguna Beach. A cop is flagged down by a couple who see a guy sitting in a car. Now, you remember how hot it was on Saturday, right?
Yes.
So this guy's sitting in the car, and he looks like he's dead. The cop comes up, knocks on the door. The guy rolls down the window. He is alive. He's drenched in sweat. He's white as a sheet. He had been passing out, was severely dehydrated. So the police officer says, "Hey, sir, step out of the car." He can't get out of the car because, A, he's got a bag of ice on his groin, and, B, because he apparently has a three-day boner going, and he's too embarrassed to stand up and try to walk out of the car with a giant erection.
Oh, my God.
So what happened with this dude is he took something called, where is it in the article here, Superman Viagra, which is a combination of both Cialis and Viagra. And as you pointed out, Lisa, who needs both, right?
I know. I don't understand that.
They both do the same thing?
Yeah.
I think so. We got Dr. Mo on the phone. We'll talk to him in 1 second. So he takes this, and then he decides to really mix it up, and he puts a metal ring on his penis. And that's where the trouble begins, because he now can't get the metal ring off of his penis, and he has an erection that won't go away. And imagine how much that hurts after day one, day two, day three, right?
Oh, no. I would die in that amount of time.
Yeah, I would think so, right? And why? How do you not go to the hospital? How is he sitting in his car in 100-degree weather out in front of some dude's house that he went to, a friend of his that he thought would be able to help him? Must be a hell of a friend, by the way.
Hey, can you help me with this?
No. Laguna Beach Fire Department is called in, and they said, look, if you don't get this metal ring off of your penis, seriously, you could lose it. I mean, you are in serious jeopardy right there, so how do they do that? Well, let's find out from Dr. Mo how they do that, because I guess he has some experience in this situation. He is the chief of surgery at Providence Little Company of Mary in San Pedro. Hey, Doc, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing?
It's fascinating to me that no matter what story we can find, you have experience with it.
Well, being a general trauma and vascular surgeon for the last 15 years, it's amazing how many people we have in common.
Wow. All right. So when I see the commercials for these, these sex pills, these male enhancement drugs on TV, and they always say, in the event of an erection that lasts more than 4 hours, consult your physician. We all kind of laugh and go, what are the chances? But apparently that is a, if not common, certainly not an unheard of side effect that people have from taking these pills, right?
Correct. But the first of all, I don't understand why anybody would take two.
Right.
Lisa May, you're absolutely right. I don't know why that's going on. But then putting the ring on top of it.
Well, that's just incredibly stupid.
Well, especially if you know how the ring works.
How does the ring work, if you can say it in terms that won't get us booted?
Yeah, I'm always careful. It allows blood to enter but doesn't allow it to exit.
Gotcha.
Oh, man.
So even if the pill's effect wore off in this young man's case, the blood still would not have been able to go back up in his body.
Correct.
He was stuck with a permanent erection. And what's the damage of that if you go too long with something like that?
All sorts of stuff can happen. I mean, you get permanent scarring. You can get nerve damage. I'd like to share with you a case that makes this actually look pretty tame.
I'd like to not hear it.
Go ahead, Doc.
Well, Kevin, this is actually, one of the Kevin and Bean People of the Day candidates.
But okay.
This is a piercing enthusiast. This guy, has tattoos and piercing everywhere. And apparently, you get more points in whatever, contest you're in if not only do you put the Franks and the Beans.
Right. Yes.
Oh,
understood.
No.
Yes.
Through the ring. Right.
Stop
This guy does that. But what he uses is an industrial-grade titanium 3/4-inch thick steel ring.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And for some reason, this three-day thing happens to work. So he comes rolling into our ER, and the ER guys call me because they look at what they see and they can't believe it. The blood's going in and it's not going out. So these things are so huge that his scrotum is starting to split like a grape.
Oh!
Jeez. Jeez.
I'm out.
Yes.
Can I tap out of this story?
Well, no. Now it gets to the fun part where they call me and say, well, can you help us? Well, lube is clearly out of the question. So I call up the maintenance people in the hospital, and we get the bolt cutters to try to clip that ring. But the bolt cutters don't work at all. The ones that use to cut locks off stuff.
Right.
That doesn't work. So then we
pull out. Sounds like me trying to figure it out. Aren't you a doctor?
Yeah, but we're out by this time. I mean, you see this thing. We're like, okay, what next? So we pull out. I tell this guy to pull out a hacksaw. And the hacksaw, we go, and it dulls the hacksaw with just one simple thing.
So, oh, my gosh.
So the next step is the urban rescue unit of the fire department. You know, the guys that, like, go underwater and break people out of the bottoms of boats and out of burning buildings.
Right.
Or whatever. So
the specialist. You're bringing in a specialist.
Beyond specialist. So this guy, so the first thing I do is, you know, the rubber lining that goes around the bottom, like the liner that's around the floors, that like 3 or 4 inch thick piece of rubber.
It's
like I cut a piece of that, lube it up, and stick it between the ring and his skin. Because at this point in time, the urban rescue guy is pulling out the gas, the
chainsaw.
A blow torch.
It's the big circular one.
A circular saw.
Now, then they look at me like, okay, you have to hold his junk away while we do our business.
Okay, at some point, did the guy say, Doc, just please kill me?
No, because he has this dopey smile on his face like, you know, this is so cool. Yeah.
Really?
He didn't freak out until in a few seconds, which I'll get to. So,
Can I tap out before that?
No.
All right.
But drugs are great, I guess. So he, the firemen look at me and says, you got to hold the junk away. So they put this lead vest on me and a welder's vise.
All of the day's work. I hope somebody took a photo.
No. And then everybody else sort of bends down and they start sawing through the things and there are sparks flying everywhere and it starts heating the ring.
Oh, my God.
And that's when this guy starts screaming bloody murder because we're cooking his genitalia.
Oh, this is the best.
So now I have to hold this guy's junk with one hand and pour saline on it with the other as sparks and steam and this guy yelling and whatever. And I'm wondering, I went to school for 172 years to do this.
Were you able to remove the rings?
Oh, absolutely. We cut all the way through it, and then we figured out it was so thick we couldn't pry it open, so we had to turn it around 180 degrees and do it again.
Oh, my gosh.
Who's hungry?
Did he have any kind of permanent damage as a result of the trauma?
Nope.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's so lucky.
Yeah, he is.
This guy in Laguna Beach, just to put a period on this story, is so the Laguna Beach Fire Department shows up and they say, sir, you're going to lose your penis. We've got to drain it. So they pull out the syringe, and I guess you would endorse this. This is what you
I'd like to tap out of this story as well.
This is one way to handle it, right, doctor? Is you drain it, right? Drain the blood?
Yeah, based on what I've told you, what you're trying to do is drain the blood out of it. So you literally stick this nasty needle right into the spongy tissue.
Well, this guy in the car freaked out once he realized what was about to happen.
You think?
According to the article, found new inspiration to remove the ring on his own with KY lube, which you got to imagine he had tried several times up till that point because that's the first thing you'd think of. But for whatever reason, until, you know, it was panic time and he realized if this doesn't work, it's needle, he was able to remove himself and drive himself to the hospital.
Well, so I will argue with you, it's probably not the first thing he thought of because he's not that bright.
Yeah, maybe so. That's a good point. So if the kids take anything away from today's show, Dr. Mo, and as always, thank you so much for joining us, that is Viagra and metal rings on your genitalia not a good combination?
I concur.
Okay. All right. Well done, everybody. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Dr. See you later. Bye.
Who's in the neighborhood? Hey, Ralph Garman with our final look at the showbiz beat for the week. What's going on?
Well, before I get to showbiz news, I do want to give away some more tickets to the K-Rock Advanced Screening. What? Advanced screening of Possession. K-Rock advanced screening of a movie called The Possession. It's at the AMC Burbank next Tuesday, August the 28th. The movie's in theaters everywhere Friday the 31st, but you'll be amongst the first people to have seen it if you're one of the first three callers at 1-800-520-1067. Right now, The Possession, story of a little girl who finds a seemingly innocuous antique box at a little yard sale and says, oh, daddy, can I buy this? Well, sure, pumpkin, anything your little heart desires. Let's take home that box. Oh, let's open the box and find it's a spirit that invades your soul and takes possession of you, an evil force. How about that? How about you didn't expect that at the yard sale, did you?
No, that's
bad idea.
Bad idea.
That's bad.
It's
I'm never going to buy anything at a yard sale again.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan plays the dad. Kira Sedgwick is the little girl's mom, and they're divorced, by the way. So not only does he have an evil spirit to deal with, he's got a bitch of an ex-wife, which I think is even more terrifying than the evil spirit inhabiting the box. And then Jews need to be called.
What?
Excuse me?
Jews need to be called.
I heard that, but I don't know. What's that mean?
What does that mean?
Apparently, the writing on the box is Hebrew.
Oh, I see.
And they got to figure out where this evil spirit is. It's an ancient evil spirit, and so they have to talk to some Jewish scholars who need to step up and, I don't know, they put a magic yarmulke on them or something. I'm not sure exactly how it works.
It doesn't sound like you know anything about
this
movie.
It's terrifying, and you will love it, and go see it and win your tickets now, is what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you are just saying.
They're calling the Jews. Serious. Kelly, nope. Corey Monteith. You know him. He plays the quarterback on Glee.
Okay.
I haven't watched that show in years.
Me either.
Have they graduated yet?
I don't know.
The kids on Glee?
I couldn't tell you.
He's in love with Lea Michele, who's also on Glee. According to Star Magazine, he adores her so much, he will go to the gym with her, even when he's not going to work out, just to watch her work out with her personal trainer.
That's just not true.
He
and
loves
that
her.
Is not when ladies look at their best either, right?
I don't know.
Some of them look pretty hot working out.
Some look
out,
pretty good.
Yeah.
My gym.
All right. That's creepy.
They get all dolled up. They get on that cycle. They do the spinning classes.
Sure.
Then I go in there and check out the seats.
Well, for God's
sake. It's
necessary to be said.
What is wrong with you?
Creepy alert.
Ralph tripped it this time.
You know, we have to...
It's the first non-being
the
creepy
reason
alert.
I made that joke is we have to... I'll bring in the commercial. We need
was
to
it
talk...
Is for a gym or something?
No, it's for a fragrance called Vulva.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
And it is... made for men who have a thing about...
This is not true.
The scent of a woman.
Nope.
Nothing to do with the Al Pacino movie.
Nope.
And this apparently recreates that experience for them.
No.
And so this company sells this by the bottle to gentlemen for their own erotic pleasure.
First of all, I don't know what that is. And second of all, no freaking way.
And the commercial, by the way, features a gentleman... investigating a bicycle seat the way I just described.
But it's a parody spot. It's a Funny or Die or something.
But,
right?
But
no way.
But no, here's where you're wrong. It's not. It's real.
It's real.
No.
Dude.
So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
No.
I'm insisting that you smoke it.
No.
I'm with that guy.
You're with Carmen?
While we're talking about bicycle seats, I'd like to sniff Emily Maynard from The Bachelorette. She is just so hot. However, I had a crush on her, but now I think my crush is over. Because, as you guys know, because you watch The Bachelorette with
we
me.
We don't watch that.
She chose Jeff with one F home, the upstanding young Mormon gentleman, to be her true beloved and to have and to hold and to get married.
Right.
And now, apparently, Us Weekly is reporting she's already cheated on him. Mike Holm, Jeff's brother, confirmed the story, saying he watched his brother find explicit sext messages on her phone during a family vacation in South Carolina. Then he heard the ensuing fight over those same said messages.
So this whore that went on TV find love is not the best person that ever lived, Ralph?
And wait till you hear who they think the messages came from.
Okay. Bum, bum, bum.
A gentleman named Matthew Leinart, professional quarterback.
Oh, really?
For your New York Jets. This story has everything. Right now, P is just spinning.
He is.
It's Leinart, it's Emily, it's Bachelorette, it's got everything that P cares about. P, if you're listening, call in right now, man. Let's talk. Let's talk Bachelorette.
Get Petros on the phone.
P, we don't have time for that. Sorry.
Let's talk. Get P on the phone.
No, that's all right.
Call. Seriously. Don't worry about it.
Sanchez, get P on the phone.
Seriously, let's at least check in and make sure he's okay.
Right, but we don't need that. We don't have time.
Because we got to talk some Bachelorette.
You can do that through email.
It's just craziness.
Pick up the phone.
You know, I love Gordon Ramsay, too, on the Hell's Kitchen show. He is best known for berating his student chefs in the kitchen, calling them horrible names and making them cry. And a guy ran into him in Vegas, came up to him and said, "Hey, it's my 50th birthday. Would you mind calling me a donkey?" Because he says that.
That's one of his names.
"You stupid donkey!" And
Gordon Ramsay said, no, I'm not a monkey to dance for your amusement. The guy said, I'll donate 6,000 pounds, so roughly $9,500, to your favorite charity. And Gordon Ramsay said, no, turned and walked away. Gordon Ramsay likes crippled kids. He likes to keep kids crippled, apparently. That's what we're learning.
It would have taken him 1 second raise all that money for his charity.
Right. But no, wow. Not him.
He seems like a dick, by the way.
I've heard he's actually a very nice guy.
I don't watch
a lot of that
shows,
is bravado.
Really?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Is that any way to run a kitchen, is to berate your people like that?
If it's named Hell's Kitchen, Bean?
It's not called Heaven's Kitchen.
That's the way to run it.
Good point.
Listen, having had been in the food service industry for many years, I can tell you more chefs are like him than are not.
Really?
Absolutely.
Who knew it was such an abusive
just
business.
Screaming at people, belligerent, just... It's a high pressure, high hot temperature back there, and people and tempers run very short.
Wow.
Just saying.
You think we asked the wrong guy to get Petros on the phone? I mean, I know it does involve
dialing seven digits.
It also involves Dave, the King Mexico, actually listening to this segment of the show.
I'm fine that he's not.
Because
we're all good.
Not my fault.
He'll often hand me a story and say, you should talk about John Mayer and Katy Perry not being together anymore. And I said, I just said that 30 seconds ago, Dave. Okay, never mind, Dan. Never listens.
Get intern Allen back.
I bid you adieu.
I instant messaged Dave to say, where's P? And he wrote back, well, you guys want to talk to P?
No.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Don't. All good.
Wasn't it like 10 minutes ago we had a long conversation about how we need to get Petros on?
Sure
right
was.
Now?
Hey, hey.
I got that standing by. I'm just saying.
You could squeeze a little bachelor talk is
I'm
what
just
I'm saying.
Saying.
I'm calling him.
Oh, now.
You're just getting on the phone?
Play the music.
You spectacular douchebag.
Why the rush?
Seriously, we got to find a guy who listens to the show.
Just go through your birthdays and let's head on out into the Wild West.
You should talk about the fact that the waitress's drummer bought Jeffrey Dahmer's house. Yeah, did that this morning.
How do you bought a house?
Did that this morning. Today's celebrity birthdays. I'm going to take my time with these birthdays. Maybe we can get P on the phone.
I'm ready to play the song. That's all I know.
Wrestling legend Vince McMahon celebrates his 67th birthday today.
Yes, P.
P?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
P, I've been talking about you all morning because have you heard the latest news about Emily and Jeff with 1F?
Yeah, she can't control her loins. She's a wild rabbit, and she's sexting. Oh, is that nice Southern girl, the one that they portrayed with the terrible story? And granted, it is a terrible story. Is she a total faker? Is she completely phony? Does she have fake boobs, fake teeth, and a fake nose? And Jeff with 1F is not really a winner, but he's actually an effing loser.
Now
she should have never been the Bachelorette.
You know, we were on different sides of the fence on this one because, you know, I love Emily, and you were always against her. And I just wanted to say you may have had a point.
Ralph, after her husband, or excuse me, fiancé or whatever, died in the plane crash,
right.
It was horrible.
She was pregnant with his child.
Mm. I know, and she found out after.
Yes.
But that being said, she made a whole thing, remember, because he was in racing.
Yep.
And she made a whole thing on The Bachelor with freaking dumbass Thor-looking Brad Womack.
Yes.
She made a whole thing about, hey, I don't want to go to the racetrack. Oh, this is so hard.
Right, the memories.
Yeah. Yeah, well, how about she was doing a show for Fuel TV that whole time?
What?
Yeah, at the racetrack every month.
Oh,
Fuel
that,
TV.
That line.
Don't try
whore.
To play me off, man. This is a big deal.
And Pete, have you heard who they think the sext messages that were on her phone were from?
It's not Harrison, that giant tool, is it?
No, it's even
this.
Better.
Oh, P, are you sitting down before Ralph gives you this information?
Thank God I'm holding a child, but I'm at my chair.
Well, lean against the wall or something. Don't drop the baby.
No, my mother-in-law's got him. Okay.
All right.
It's safe.
NFL quarterback Matt Leinart.
Hello?
P? P, you there? P?
Holy God.
We knew you'd love that part.
It's got everything for you, that story.
Oh, I mean, you guys made me speak Greek. I cannot, no way.
That's what they're saying.
It's like a story tailor-made for Petros.
That's the word on the street.
wow, she loves to open the drawer and pull out all the tools. So how do you think Jeff with one F, the Mormon guy, is feeling after buying a condo in Charlotte?
Well, according to
according
to Mike Holm, his brother, who gave the story to Us Weekly magazine, he is he's heartbroken, as you can imagine.
Yeah, well, I love the, oh, this isn't true, our relationship's stronger than ever. And then they called a brother in Utah in some Mormon camp, and he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that totally happened.
Yeah, he saw
there's a dullness about you.
He saw the sex
there's
messages.
There's a dullness about
and
you.
And he heard the ensuing fight afterwards that she, where he was saying you had been effing cheating on me this whole time, and she was apologizing.
Hey, has Kevin scooped out his eyes with a teaspoon yet?
Trying. He's right there. He's
I'm
right on the precipice.
Stabbing my ears is what I'm doing.
Well, we're all devastated that this love of a lifetime didn't work out, these people that met on TV. It's sad news for the whole world, P.
Yeah, it's like a cold front and a warm front just blowing up over the ocean. It's crazy.
It's just like
but
that.
More importantly, P, are you watching Bachelor Pad?
Come on!
You know what I am? How about that angry Polish guy
I know.
Chicago?
I can't believe
start
that guy.
Song and I'm not stopping it this time. I'm just warning you.
Love you,
Chris
P.
Bukowski.
I love you, P. We'll talk to you later.
God bless you all.
And watch your language.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Patrick.
Bukowski. Said Bukowski. Kevin thinks that's a Polish swear word.
No, that's...
Okay, gotta go. Sorry, Pete.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business. I think we should do a weekly Bachelor Pad, Bachelorette update.
That's a great idea.
That was fascinating.
No! We'll discuss that.
No! It was wildly
entertaining.
We're
right to that.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Let's go. Get better. One, two, three. Get better.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Sorry, can't help you there.
Hey, who are we listening to?
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock.
Bogart that joint, my friend.
Where's the outrage then?
Get out of here. Now go.
You want to get out?
We stopped talking, so you should just leave.
Just leave the place.
We're actually very sleepy. We're going to go to bed.
It was an experience. It was a good experience. Well, it was an experience. I think I need to go home now.
Get the f*** out of my house, you crazy Looney Tunes freak!
Well, that's our show. Keyboard Cat, take us home!
Hey, for a lot of deal, we got to show some love for all the fighters tonight, man. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good, man. We still gonna have the after party. Holla at your boy.